ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീയദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ശിഷ്യ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ശിഷ്യല പ്രഭുപാദ നമാംശുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനെ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്ധസ്യ അജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയാ ചക്ഷുരുന്മീലിതം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാം ദിയം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണ രഘുനാഥാന്വിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനാസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാം സഹഗണലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാന്വിതാംശ്ച നമാം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനെ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി നമാം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി ഇതി നാമിനെ ശ്രീവർഷഭാനവി ദേവി ദൈതായ കൃപാബ്ധയെ കൃഷ്ണസംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനം ദായിനേ പ്രഭവേ നമഃ മാധുര്യോജ്ജ്വല പ്രേമാദ്യ ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗഭക്തിദ ശ്രീഗൗരകരുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീമൂർത്തയേ ദീനദാരിണേ രൂപാനുഗവിരുദ്ധാവസിദ്ധാന്തദ്വന്ദഹാരിണേ നമോ ഗൗരകിഷോരായ സാക്ഷാത് വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയേ വിപ്രലംബരസാംഭോദേ പാദാംബുജായതേ നമഃ നമോ ഭക്തിവിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനി ഗൗരശക്തി സ്വരൂപായ രൂപനൂഗവരായതേ ഗൗരാവിർഭവഭൂമേസ്ത്വം നിർദ്ദേഷ്ടാ സജ്ജനപ്രിയാഃ വൈഷ്ണവാ സർവഭൗമ ശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായതേ നമഃ വാഞ്ചകൽപതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധൂഭ്യൈവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ നമോ മഹാവദാന്യായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേമപ്രദായതേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യനാമ്നേ ഗൗരത്വശേ നമഃ പഞ്ചതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തശാത്വികം. ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാ കാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ. ജയദം സുരതോ ഭംഗോർ മമ മന്ദമദേർഗതി മത്സർവസ്വപദാം ഭോജൌ രാധാ മദനമോഹനൌ ദിവ്യവൃന്ദാരണ്യകൽപദ്രുമാദൌ ശ്രീമന്രത്നാകര സിംഹാസനസ്ഥൌ ശ്രീമന്രാധാശീലഗോവിന്ദദേവോ പ്രേഷ്ടാളിവേ സേവ്യമാനോ സ്മരാമി. ശ്രീമന്രാസരസാരംഭി വംശീവടതടസ്ഥിത കർഷാൻവേണുസ്വനിർഗോപേർഗോപിനാഥാ ശ്രിയേ സ്തുനാഃ. തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവീ പ്രണമാമി ഹരേ പ്രിയേ. ജയ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. We have started this eighth chapter last Saturday, and we saw there that Arjuna had questions based on the what Krishna has spoken in the seventh chapter, isn't it? That's where we stopped last time. If you remember, from seventh chapter to the eighth chapter is a very serious shift there. You can notice that in the flow of Bhagavad Gita. If you carefully look at Bhagavad Gita, you will see so many interesting things. Arjuna is asking to Krishna, ജരാമരണ മോക്ഷായ മമാശ്രിത യതന്തിയേ തേ ബ്രഹ്മ തദ്വിദു കൃഷ്ണം അധ്യാത്മം കർമ്മചാഖിലം. ദേർ കൃഷ്ണ മെൻഷൻസ് ദേർ, അർജുന, ഓൾ ദീസ് തിങ്സ് ആർ വെരി ഫൈൻ, ബട്ട് ദോസ് ഹു ആർ ലുക്കിംഗ് ഫോർ ഫ്രീഡം ഫ്രം ദിസ് സൈക്കിൾ ഓഫ് ബേർത്ത് ആൻഡ് ഡെത്ത്, മമാശ്രിത യതന്തിയേ, ദേ ടേക്ക് കംപ്ലീറ്റ് ഷെൽട്ടർ ഓഫ് മീ and execute their spiritual life. This is the first thing Krishna mentions there. Jara Marana Mokshaya. Two things important, because Krishna is concerned, old age and death is the biggest problem in this life. Nobody wants to get old. Prabhupada used to say, you don't want to get old, but old age is coming, he said. You don't want to die, but death is there, he said. These two factors, because Maya keeps us busy with so many things in this world, it is very difficult for us to come to terms with it. We don't want to think about it. We'll see when it comes, we'll say like that. We'll deal with it when that happens. But as far as the rishis and the sages and the great devotees and jnanis are concerned, we don't have any economic problems here as far as they are concerned. Economic problems we created ourselves. Practically, as far as survival is concerned, maintaining the body is concerned, Krishna is providing necessities of life. To be satisfied with that is the sign of spiritual happiness. It's a sign of spiritual life. But instead of solving the real, genuine problems of changing this body again, transmigration from one body to another, and one living one species to another, this is our main problem. And to face with that old age and death, nobody wants to think about it because it is such a difficult situation. So therefore, Krishna mentions there, Jara Marana Mokshaya. Krishna gave importance to only those two things. Jara, old age, and Maranam, death. Two things. Then again later on, Krishna mentions there that he mentions that janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. As long as why Krishna is stressing this is, he is saying to us, don't over endeavor to try to perfect this body. It will never be possible. It's not possible at all to make this body perfect. It is our foolish understanding that in this body we can be happy. That's not possible. That's what Krishna is stating there. We have also seen there that after that Krishna mentions to them that te brahma tadvidu krishnam adhyatmam karma chakilam, and later on close that chapter with Arjuna, Krishna says sa adhibhudadi devamam adiyajnyanjaye vidu prayana kale vijamam te vidur yukta chedasa. That was the last verse in the 7th chapter. Krishna mentions there that adhibhudam adidevam adhiyajnyam, these things will be known to a person when he is leaving the body, if he has executed spiritual life properly. Adhibhudam adidevam adhiyajnyam. And in the chapter and in the verse before that he said prayana kale vijamam te brahma tadvidu krishnam adhyalpam karma chagilam te brahmam tadvidu krishnam adhyalpam karma. All these things will be clear to him at the time of death. Krishna puts all that there and left the 7th chapter there, left it there. As soon as the 8th chapter opens, Arjuna asked these questions in the 2 verses. That's what we were discussing last Saturday. What was the question? Question was, kim tad brahmam, kim tad adhyatmam, kim karmam purushottama. He says, adibhudam cha, kim proktam, adiyajnam, kim uchyate. All the same things what Krishna has said, mentioned there, again he put that back forward to Krishna and asked him this question, kim tad brahma, kim adhyatmam, what is karmam, what is brahmam, what is adhyatmam, what is karmam, what is adhibhudam, what is adidhaivam. All these questions came up in the first verse, and in the second verse, adiyajnam, what is adhiyajnam, dehesvin madhusudana. And he also mentions there, prayana kale bijamam, kale cha katham, Nyeyosi Nedalmabi. Prayana Kale Bicha Katham. Kale Cha Katham. Prayana Kala means at the time of leaving the body. Katham Nyeyosi Nedalmabi. Nyeyosi Nedalmabi. Nyeyosi Nedalmabi means, Nedalmabi means one who has complete control over his mind and body and everything. And Nyayosi, what stage is he in at that time? How will he be at that state? This was the question from Arjuna to Krishna. So we have started, and then we saw there Aksharam Brahma Paramam. That's what we were discussing, isn't it? Aksharam Brahma Paramam Swabhavam Adhyalpam Uchyate, the third verse. And Bhuta Bhavod Bhavagaro Visarga Karma Samhita. So there we have seen, discussed that this also last time. That Arjuna, from Krishna's point of view, what does truth means? We discussed that. Truth means, as far as Krishna is concerned, that thing which doesn't change. Because that's how Bhagavad Gita started, isn't it? Nasado vidyate bhavo. Change is not nature of the truth. Truth means never changes anything. It has to stay, remain all times to come. It was always the same thing in the past, it will remain in the present, it will remain in the future the same. That is the nature. If it is changing, it's not truth. That is the first principle. So, keeping this one principle, this principle is very important, because it is based on this principle that all Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, Vedantam, everything has been structured on this very one principle. If we deeply understand this point, that things which does not change remain as the truth, remain as the truth. Because if you look at our own body, you can see body is changing, mind is changing, intelligence is changing, ego is changing. What is not changing inside this, in this whole thing, is the soul. The soul is the only thing that is not changing. And what does that mean? Soul means that awareness inside us all the time that I am, I am, I am. That ahamasmi, ahamasmi. In Shastram they call it ahamasmi. I am not changing. What is that I am? That consciousness. Pure consciousness of my awareness of my existence. That doesn't change. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, how it's presented is, when Chitraketu went to when Chitrakethu went to see, after Sridharada Maharshi gave him this special benediction, that told him to chant the mantra for 7 days, and he said, you will realize the truth. He said, due to Sridharada Maharshi's special mercy, our Chitrakethu got the realization after 7 days, felt that he is in the presence of Sankarshanamurti, Lord Balaram, Lord Balaram's presence. Lord Balaram instructed him on the transcendental knowledge, and there he mentions in the Bhagavatam, Shabdam Brahma Param Brahma Mamobhe Shashwadi Tanu. He says there are two aspects of the same truth. One is Param Brahma, other one is Shabdam Brahma. Shabdam Brahmam and Param Brahmam. And it is this Param Brahmam that is what we are discussing now in this chapter. Param Brahma. What is that Param Brahmam? Param Brahmam means that Param Brahmam has a nature. In two ways it is expressed. Sandra Anandam Avabhodam. Ananda means that blissful state. That is the nature of Brahmam, isn't it? Blissful nature. Eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. So that is coming from that. Anandam is coming from Brahmam. That is one of the symptoms of Parabrahmam. Other symptoms of Parabrahmam is Avabhodam, which is, Avabhodam means this awareness, constant awareness of our existence. I am existing. All of us are existing. That awareness never leaves us. In all states, it is there inside us. So, from there, Sandranandavabhodalmagamanupamidam Avabhodam. Avabhodam means awareness. Anandam, Avabhodam. Two things are also the nature of Brahman as it mentions there. So, Krishna is going to say here, then Acharam, he begins with the word Acharam, Acharam Brahma Paramam. He says, that Acharam is, that is who is, what we call in another place in the Bhagavad Gita is Kshetrajnan. Kshetrajnan means, that in his another name that is used is Acharam. Acharam means, this. What is the beauty of this awareness inside us? All these changes are happening in the body all the time, isn't it? The person who has come to this room at the beginning of the class is not the person who is going out of the room at the end of the class. He has already changed. By then some changes have happened inside. Is it not? So change is constantly happening in us all the time. In the body, in the mind, in intelligence, ego, everything is changing. But Acharam Brahma Paramam, Krishna is saying, that person who is inside, who is called Acharam. Acharam means no charam. Charam means what is getting destroyed continuously. Change means destruction, in other words. You keep on changing and eventually it gets destroyed. So what doesn't have a charam or a destruction is called Acharam. Krishna is saying here, Acharam Brahma Paramam. That Brahma Paramam, Param Brahmam is Acharam. He has no change. Not only that, he inside him, Krishna says here, that he is watching, observing everything of all the changes that is going in, happening inside and outside. What's happening inside means in the body, mind, intelligence and ego. He is noticing the changes and all the changes that's happening outside the body as well. That is Acharam Brahma Paramam. Brahma Paramam, because he is the only constant in this. All others are variables. Body is a variable thing. Mind is variable. Intelligence is variable. Everything is variable. The constant is the awareness. Constant is the awareness. So, Upanishad says, that is called Brahmam. That is called Brahmam. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will notice this in the beginning itself, that Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavaniti, Shabdyade, isn't it? Vadandi, Tat Tattva Vidam, Tattvam Yajnanam, Advayam, Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavaniti, Shabdyade. So, Yajnanam, that knowledge, that's awareness is knowledge. That awareness is knowledge. In another way of expressing it is knowledge, isn't it? You are aware of something, that means it's your knowledge. So, Jnanam, or awareness, Advayam. Advayam means there is no duality there. There is no duality there. In other words, its very nature of that, very nature of that truth is Advayam. Advayam. Without any duality in that. And that truth, some people call it as Brahmam, some people call it as Paramatma, somebody else calls it as Bhagavan. That is how Bhagavatam says. That vadandi tat, vadandiya tattuvidam, tattvam, that tattvam, there it is not addressed as a person, reality. It is that tattvam is yet jnanam. That tattvam is jnanam and that jnanam is advayam. That is how we have to understand that verse. Vadandi yat tattvam, that tattvam is jnanam, that jnanam is advayam. But that tattvam is addressed by transcendentalists in three different ways. Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavaniti, Shabdade. That is all. So that's why devotees will address them as Bhagavan, yogis will address it as Paramatma, and in Upanishads, and jnanis will address it as Brahman. That is the way it is spoken. So so that is why. And where is that tattvam? Nityobalabdham. In the Bhagavadam, it says that it is present inside us. In our experience, it's there all the time. That tattvam is in our experience because that awareness is in everyone, isn't it? So nityobalabdham means ever attained, ever attained. And so so this is where the beginning of this chapter, actually the beginning of this chapter is here. Very carefully and with a lot of attention, you have to give your Shraddha towards this truth, what Krishna is speaking here in these verses. Because according as far as Krishna is concerned, if the Shraddha is there, the experience also will come from that. Experience also will come from that. Because just like the awareness is already there, but it is not given enough attention to it. The reason is, just like the sun is covered by the clouds, and this experience of our existence is covered by our ignorance. There is ignorance inside us that is not allowing us to experience that reality of our own existence, our own awareness. It doesn't come to us. So, so remember, we mentioned this before also, that we are made of two sides, isn't it? On one side, we have the knowledge in us, Chit Shakti. And on the other side, there is the Jada Shakti. So Chit Shakti and the Jada Shakti, that means experience of our existence, awareness is there. And on the other side, the experience of death is also there. This is the reason, remember a few classes before we talked about this, that why do we feel the fear of death? Why do we sometimes don't take notice of it? These two questions. When you are under the grip of the knowledge, then you don't feel the fear of death. When you are under the grip of knowledge, you don't feel the fear of death. When you are under the grip of the Jada Shakti, Chit Shakti, Chedanarubam, Jada Shakti, Jadalmiga. That is how Sasam says there. That under the influence of Chit Shakti, you are always aware of consciousness of the Chetana, or the living force inside. And when you are influenced by that, you don't feel the fear of death. When, on the other hand, if you are affected by the miseries of the body or identification with the body, at that time you feel the fear of death. You don't feel the fear of death when you are released from the identification with the body. It's a big difference. That is what we talked about, that when you are under the grip of ajnanam or avidya, you are under the fear of death. When you are under the grip of jnanam or knowledge, you are not feeling the fear of death. This is why when sometimes people die in this world, still we don't feel so much about it. After a while we think it's okay. Because inside, that Chetana, Chit Shakti is giving us the signal to us that there is no such thing called a death. So that part of it is knowledge. The other part which makes us feel frightened about death, frightened about old age, it's all due to the influence of the Jada Shakti inside us. So Chit Shakti and Jada Shakti, both of them are present in us. Both of them are present in us. So here, if we remove that ignorance part of it, then what Krishna is saying in this verse is, if you remove that ignorance part of it from inside, then naturally our pure existence or awareness of our existence will manifest in us in a natural way. It doesn't require any more effort after that. That is why Aksharam Brahma Paramam. That is why Krishna is saying there. That Aksharam inside, that soul inside, who is Aksharam, is Brahma Paramam, is supreme thing, is the supreme supreme source. In other words, he has no death. He has no death. In this verse, Krishna has kept both the things together. One thing is Aksharam Brahma Paramam. That means Brahmam, which is Paramam, is Aksharam, he is saying. Three words only, it's very easy to understand. Aksharam, one who doesn't die, who doesn't experience any kind of destruction, Aksharam. He is Brahmam, absolute truth. Paramam, supreme. He is supreme truth, which is inside. And then in the next line he says, Svabhavam Adhyalpam Uchade. His Svabhavam is Adhyalpam. Svabhavam Adhyalpam Uchade. There you will notice one thing, that when he remembers, when he talks about that Brahmam is present inside, Krishna is confirming that again. Aksharam Brahma Param is inside us. Upanishads calls it as Brahmam, and here Krishna is mentioned as Aksharam Brahma Param, and all the time which is present inside us as the awareness, and it, although it is there, why are we not able to realize it? Why are we not able to realize it? Why do we? Why? Because there is so many vigalpam coming inside. Vigalpam means the continuous chittavritti, the thoughts that's coming through the mind. So because of this vigalpam that is happening in the mind, the nirvigalpam state, that is freedom from this chittavritti, doesn't come to us, and therefore we don't realize it. Therefore, Krishna is saying there, Sarubam Adhyalpam Uchede. The second line in that verse, you can see there. Sarubam Adhyalpam, Svabhavam Adhyalpam Uchede. Krishna is saying, Aksharam Brahma Paramam, Svabhavam Adhyalpam Uchede. You will see this famous verse, Hrudaya Guharam Adye. That in the Hrudaya Guharam, inside that Hrudayam, he is present inside there, Kevalam Brahma Matram. Only pure source of Brahmam is present there. So here, Svabhavam Adhyalpam Uchyate. Now, earlier we have discussed this in the 7th chapter also. Two things in us. One is our Swarupam, isn't it? Other one is our Svabhavam. Swarupam and Svabhavam. Swarupam means one's Rupam. Swarupam. Svabhavam means one's Bhavam. Svabhavam. Swarupam and Svabhavam. These two things is existing in us in all the time. And Swarupam, that is what Krishna is saying there. Swarupam is the same for everybody. We all have the same Swarupam. Swarupam is not different, but Svabhavam is different for everybody. Swarupam is the same for everyone, but Svabhavam is different in everyone. Svabhavam is different in everyone. In fact, even in all the other living entities, birds, bees, animals, plants, all of them, Swarupam is the same. What we have inside is the same substance that is in those other living entities also. It's the same substance. So Swarupam in all the living entities is the same. What changes is the Svabhavam. What changes is the Svabhavam. So here you can see here that the earlier in the famous Panchakam, there is Manisha Panchakam, it mentions there that the Yatiryang Maradeva Bihamityandas Puda Gruhyate Yelbhasa Hridayakshadeha Vishaya Bhandiswato Chetana Tam Bhase Vidarkamandala Nipam Spurtim Sada Bhavayan Yogi Nirvrudamana Sohi Guru Rityesha Manisha Mamam. So then when Acharya Swamiji mentions there that while he was in Benares, when he was walking through the streets in Benares, Lord Shiva comes there in the form of a chandala. He comes with four dogs with their holding on to their Shiva comes there with the four dogs with the rein in the hand, comes against him, against him. So in them days, people were very conscious of the place where they were born or to the family they were born. Like Brahmanas were brahmanas were respected by the lower classes of people. So Acharya Swamiji is walking through the street. He is in a brahminical culture. Against him comes Lord Shiva, but in a chandala's form, with the four dogs holding on to it, walking the dogs. He was coming through that. So when he saw there, Acharya Swamiji told him to move away from the way, not knowing that it was Lord Shiva at that time. So he mentions there that he asked this question, he told him to move away from the path. So the chandala asked Acharya, who are you trying to say to move away from the street? Because the soul within me and within you is the same soul. Chandala is saying this to Shiva. And as the body is concerned, it is Jadam. It's the same thing, Panchabhutam, five material elements. Just like if you remember, we studied this in the 13th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam Ekadasha Skandam, where we spoke about this. That what Krishna has spoken to these, taught the four Kumaras, that he asked this question, what is the difference between us? If you are asking me who am I, my question is, if you are asking me on the spiritual platform, you and me are not different. It's the same soul within you and me, it's one and the same thing. If you are asking from the platform of the body, you are made of five material elements, I am also made of five material elements. So who are you asking, who am I? Who is asking this question? And therefore Kumaras could not reply that. And that is what you saw in the, what is known as in the Bhagavadam, you remember? That in the 13th chapter, Hamsa Gita was spoken for this reason. Only because this question came up, therefore Hamsa Gita was spoken. Brahma could not answer that question properly. So Krishna came in the form of a swan and he answered that question to the four Kumaras. So that same principle here also, when Acharya Swamiji asked the Lord Shiva to move away from the way, from the road, he says to him, who are you asking to move? As far as soul is concerned, it is the same soul which is within you and in me. As far as body is concerned, it is the same material, five material elements in you as well as in me. So what is the question of moving away from one place to another? So when this question was spoken, so Yathiriyang, he mentions there, all kinds of bodily existence. Tiryak means birds. And they have three kinds of body they spoke. One kind of living entities, their bodies are horizontal, isn't it? Like cows, dogs, various animals, they all have a horizontal body. I mean, their situation is like everything is in a horizontal level. We are created everything in a vertical level, isn't it? We have got our head on the top, below that the heart, then the belly, then the legs, like that, in a vertical way. Animals are created in a horizontal way. Then the birds are created in an angular way. Just like you look at the many of the birds, they are in an angular way, isn't it? Not straight, horizontal, neither vertical, in between. So he mentions there that in our construction, in the human construction body, you will see here that the brain is meant to work and the mind has to control the things and eat what is necessary according to the needs of the belly. And in other words, after doing that, to live in this world peacefully, that is expected from the human body. He is supposed to use his brain and think about things, and therefore this is given the highest position also. That he is supposed to use the brain to understand the life, purpose of the life, and use the mind, which is on the next lower level, use the mind to control our senses and eat what is necessary, which is the next lower level, to maintain the body and live through this world peacefully without creating too much of a problem here. That's what is expected from us. What do we do? We do exactly the opposite now, isn't it? So, we, at the moment, our first priority is here, and the priority goes down the opposite way. The flow is in the opposite direction. So, Acharya Swamiji mentions in that Manisha Panchakam that all the other living entities, that doesn't matter whether it's a demigod or it's birds or animals or human being species, whatever it may be, in all of them, this one thing of awareness is always there. Awareness of their existence. And there nobody has any doubt about it. Even the birds and animals also are fully conscious of their awareness. Only thing is, this awareness under no circumstances leaves us. Even when it becomes dark in the night, that awareness never leaves us of our existence. We may not be aware of other things, but that presence inside of our own awareness never leaves us. That's why it's mentioned there, spudagrihyate, that spuranam, all the time, never leaving us, is always there. Nothing else is very clear to us about ourselves, isn't it? Take it for example, our own body. How much conscious we are of our own body? Just like if you sit in a dark room, you're not even conscious of all the body. You may say that you're conscious of it, but what's happening, the changes that's happening inside the body, or certain changes is not even noticeable to us. And again, when you go into the dream state or the deep sleep state, you're not even conscious of the body there either. So, but even in the sleep, jagrat state, wakened state, in the dream state and in the deep sleep, that what is fully conscious all the time is this awareness of our own existence. And this awareness, Krishna is saying, is our swarupam. Awareness is our swarupam. That's why Krishna mentions there, Shri Bhagavan Vaja, Aksharam Brahma Paramam. That is one side of ours. One side of us is Aksharam Brahma Paramam. We have to keep that one basic thing always in our studying Bhagavad Gita. Aksharam Brahma Paramam. That's what we are. And then what else have we got? Svabhavam Adhyalpam Uchyate. Adhyalpam is that Svabhavam. Adhyalpam is that Svabhavam. This is why many, many great personalities or realized souls, they are saying here that Krishna, who is present inside in every living entity, that divinity in us, without inquiring about that, we go on inquiring everywhere else, where is Krishna, where is Krishna. So, just like you take the torch and keep on looking everywhere, is Krishna here, is Krishna there, in the same way. Because he is already present inside us in the form of prajna, or that present awareness inside. Shruti shrays here, that you have to give your attention to that vastu which is already available there. Siddha vastu it is called. That siddha vastu, when you start giving attention to that is called aksharam. Our attention has not fallen on that yet. Our attention has fallen on various other things. It has not fallen on the vastu inside. So that when our attention falls on the vastu inside, that is addressed as aksharam. So everything else is changing, isn't it? Body is changing, mind is changing, everything is changing. But this awareness inside is not changing. Aksharam Brahma Paramam. And that Aksharam Brahma Paramam is called Swarupam. And that never changes. And that Swarupam, these are all important points in the sense that if we know this, Aksharam Brahma Paramam, that is our nature, and that is the nature of all the other living entities. That is what we are trying to realize it. But what is the problem? Svabhavam Adhyatmam Uchyate. We have this thing called Svabhavam, each one of us, which is different from one to another. Different among the human beings also, there is difference in the Svabhavam. From human species to another species, there is difference in the Svabhavam. Because of all these changes, and Svabhavam covers this Swarupam, therefore realization is not happening to us. We are not realizing the truth. In simple terms, so first thing is that Swarupam is the same for everybody. And second thing Krishna is saying, Swabhavam Adhyalpam Uchyate. This Swabhavam is different for everybody. No two people will be the same. And not only that, the one person will not be the same person today, will not be the same person tomorrow. He will change from day to day, and two people are also different. Two people are also, in other words, you are one way now, but by the time you get home and in the evening before you go to bed, you will have another nature, Swabhav. So constantly in flux, constantly in flux. So that is what is called Swabhavam. That is what is called Swabhavam. Swabhavam. And because, why is it called Swabhavam? Why is it called Swabhavam? Because it is a Bhavamandalam. Bhavamandalam means, it's not something where you have any control over, and it is in your imagination, it exists like that. Your nature, you can never say, this is my nature. Sometimes people say that this is my nature. Actually, it has no meaning. That nature, at that particular time, that was your nature. But it's changed again after a while. And sometimes people wonder, how did I do some things which I never thought I'll do it? Why? Because it's Swabhavam. Bhavam it is. Bhavam means how you manifest in the world. Do you see the difference? Swabhavam, Swabhavam means one's Bhavam. That is why it's called Swabhavam. Swarupam, one's Rupam. Rupam is not different. Everybody has the same Rupam. But Swabhavam is always changing. And it is this Swabhavam is covering the Swarupam. That is why Krishna puts it there. Swabhavam Adhyalpam Uchyate. That Swabhavam is called Adhyalpam. Why is the reason? What is the reason behind it? Reason is this, that Swabhavam depends on the mind. Depends on the, it is completely depending on the mind. Which one? The Swabhavam. Swabhavam is totally dependent on the mind. And that one, because it is like that, it's called Adhyalpam. Therefore, it is called Adhyalpam. Swabhavam, this chapter is particularly difficult. If you give a lot of attention to it, you will enjoy this chapter. Because it has got some very interesting things to say about the death and about us. And so here, Krishna is saying that Swabhavam is changing. The reason for that is, it is dependent on the mind, not on the soul. Whereas Swarupam will never change. Why? Because it's dependent on the soul. Yeah? Swabhavam will always change because it's dependent on the mind, depending on the mind, subtle body. Whereas Swarupam will never change because it's dependent on the soul. It's dependent on the soul. So, that thing, Swabhavam, is called Adhyalpam. Adhyalpam. That which deals with the mind. That which deals with the mind. Swabhavam Adhyalpam Uchyate. Krishna is saying there. So, the Swabhavam covers the Swarupam. It covers the Swarupam. And what happened in the Swabhavam? When it covers the Swarupam, it is when it covers the Swarupam, that is when you start thinking you are somebody different from that. When the Swabhavam covers the Swarupam, immediately what happened? Personality comes from that. Personality comes from that. Personality. This is how personalities are born. Nowadays we say everybody is a personality. What is this personality? Personality is nothing but Swabhavam it is. It is not Swarupam because there is no such thing called personality. Personality, when we identify something as personality, it is the Swabhavam you are talking about. You are talking about the Swabhavam. So, therefore, it mentions there, in the Ramanuja Sampradayam, there is a meeting between Namalwar and Madhrakavi Alwar. Madhrakavi Alwar was looking for a spiritual master. And he saw a star in the sky, and he started walking towards south, and the star started moving. So in the night, the star will stop at a particular place, Namalwar will stay at the night there. And then in the morning when he gets up, the star starts moving, and he went along with it. He could see that star even during the day, the movement of the star. In this way, he traveled for several days before he met his spiritual master, Namalwar, This is among the Alvars, famous to Alvars. Madhurakavi Alvar meets Namalwar and he asks this question to Namalwar. Namalwar, at a very early age, he has realized the truth, and as a baby he was lying underneath the tree for many years and he stayed like that. And Namalwar was asking this question that Aksharam Brahmavaramam. So where he was mentioned that in a limited sense, you cannot find the truth. Truth is overpowering everything, above everything, all pervading. That is the nature of the truth. So he mentions to him that Aksharam Brahmavaramam. Aksharam is Brahmam and it is unlimited. That is the nature of the truth. Truth you cannot limit to anything. If you can limit to something, that is not the truth anymore. So, to make it like this, Brahmam, the word itself, Brahmam, comes from where? Brihat. Brihat means unending. It has no beginning, it has no end. That is the nature of the truth. So, Namalwar instructs Madhuragavi Alvar that Bhuma means limited, is Alpam. Alpa means limited it is. And it is in the Upanishads. These things are from the Upanishads. Namalwar has spoken these things. He said, Swalpam or Alpam is there. But in the expanded form in Brahmam, there is no limitation on that. He explains this to them. That is exactly what Krishna is saying here. Aksharam Brahma Paramam. It cannot be limited to one form or one species or one body. No. It is all pervading substance it is. So, and that is present in everyone all the time. Present in everyone all the time. In the deep sleep state, it is there. But you can see the how logical that is. If you go into the deep sleep state, is there any personality? There itself, it shows that personality is not a permanent thing. As soon as you go into the deep sleep state, there is no such thing called a personality, is there? So when did this personality come out? Personality has come out when that when the swabhavam of a person covers the swarupam, at that time personality comes out. Advanced jnanis or realized souls, devotees, for them personality is not important. Because why? They have freed themselves from the swabhavam. They have come to identify with the swarupam. We are identifying with our swabhavam and therefore we feel strongly about our personality. The more we identify with our swabhavam, our nature, the more we will feel strongly about the personality. The more we free ourselves from the swabhavam, the more we will realize that personality is not the reality. Personality is not the reality. So interesting thing is, even in that sushupti state, in the deep sleep state also, so you can see there is a happiness there, but there is no personality. There is a happiness there. Personality is not there. But only when you come to the vacant state, to the jagrat state, you are seeing that I am so and so. That has come up straight away. I woke up with the idea that I am somebody. I'm something. It doesn't matter what it is. I'm an Englishman, I'm an Indian, I'm a German, American, European, whatever it is. All thoughts came up straight away. Why? You have come from swarupam to swabhavam. When the swabhavam is not disturbing you, you are in your swarupam, which is like the deep sleep state. But as soon as you leave that state and come to your swabhavam, immediately personality comes along with that. This discussion between Namalwar and Madhuragavi Alvar is there. And they are talking about this. They mention this. So, here you can see, when we come to this vacant state, that is at that time, I am so and so. That thought comes inside. Adhyalpam. Here, Alma means, you cannot say that it is the knowledge of the self. Knowledge of the self. Alma, you cannot say knowledge of the self. Here, Sabhavam Adhyalpam Uchyade. There you have to see, call it as personality. Personality. Because that is the one thing. When the personality comes, that differentiates a person from one to another. Isn't it? As soon as you become a personality, there is a difference between one person to another. You are different, I am different. He is different. Tvam aham idam tvadiyam kalpana buddhi doshal prabhavadi paramalpani advaye nirvikalpe. Upanishad says, tvam aham idam, me, you and he, idam tvadiyam kalpana buddhi doshal. In our intelligence, something happens. Buddhi dosha means our way of seeing things changes. And we start identifying with three different things. I identify as me, you identify as yourself, and somebody else is identifying himself, and this is buddhi dosham. So, mentions there, tvam aham idam tudiyam kalpana buddhi doshal prabhavati paramalpani advaye nirvikalpe. Whereas, the svabhavam goes away when we all fall back into our own spiritual identity as swarupam, then advayam nirvikalpe. There is no nirvikalpa. Kalpam, vikalpam doesn't exist here. And what is the next thing happens after that? What is the next step? As soon as I identify myself as a person, next thing, what do? Two things happens to me. I become the doer and I become the enjoyer. In the Bhagavad Gita, you can see how Krishna has dealt with this issue in the very beginning itself. Isn't it? Kartrutvam va, boktrutvam va, it says. Kartrutvam and boktrutvam takes birth along with the personality. As you know, we have talked about this before also in the Bhagavad Gita. This material existence means all these things. Kartrutva boktrutvam, isn't it? Ragadveshadi kartrutva boktrutvam va. This is material existence. When you have a personality is born in us, what first thing happens to us is kartrutva boktrutvam comes. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer comes. Along with that, ragadvesham also comes. I am the enjoyer, I have attachment, I have aversion. So all these things have happened inside us in a subtle level at some point when the personality was born. So doer and enjoyer, and then we engage in activities which is called karma, and then we engage in activity, and with the result of that, we enjoy the results of that karma. That is that two lines after that. Buddha bhavodhagaro visarga karma samhita. Look at that one verse Krishna has spoken, so many things in there. Buddha bhavodhagaro visarga karma samhita. Krishna is saying here that this development of this, what is happening in us with the birth of the personality, when the personality is born, kartrutva bhoktrutvam comes. With kartrutva bhoktrutvam, ragadvesham comes. And Krishna is saying here, buddha bhavodbhavagaro visarga karma samhita. With that karma begins. Kartav bhokta, doer and the enjoyer. And Buddha Bhavod Bhavagaro Visarga Karma Samhita. Krishna is saying like that. So, what does that mean? Buddha Bhavod Bhavagaro Visarga Karma Samhita means that Krishna is saying here that from inside a force comes, a powerful force, that is karma. How did we start engaging in karma? Karma has begun like this. People ask this question. This karma vasana, which is strong in everybody, isn't it? From the Bhagavad Gita's point of view, Krishna is mentioning here, look at it this way, Aksharam Brahma Paramam. The individual is Aksharam, he is Brahmam, and he is Paramam. In other words, that is pure spirit is one aspect of us. And covering that is a Swabhavam, which is put a cover of that, or it covers our Swarupam. What the Swabhavam covers our Swarupam. And that Swabhavam, Aksharam, Brahma, Paramam, Swabhavam is called Adhyalpam. Here you have to understand that Adhyalpam is not referring to Jnanam, it is referring to the Swabhavam. That Adhyalpam should be understood not as spiritual, but as to be understood as personality. It is a very difficult thing because generally when we talk about Adhyalpam, Adhyalpam is spiritual. But here it is referred to the personality. Krishna has referred it as personality. And with the birth of the personality, what happened? I am the doer, I am the enjoyer was born. And with that, karma begins. This is how karma has begun in us. And that is why, and it is a force that comes out from that personality at that time. From the personality, this force comes out. Or visargam, visargam means projection. It projects outside. And when you start, when that projection comes out, and along with that, I have done this, and a false ego comes out after that. Sometimes people analyze themselves, and they think that I have done so many things, I have done this, I have done that, and this is what the results has come. Everybody talks like that, isn't it? In this world, people have done big things, small things, no matter. Everyone wants to say what they have done, and they want to take the credit for what they have done, if the results are good. And everybody glorifies each other for what they have done in this world. But if you study this verse, you can understand how that happens inside us. Without our knowledge, this is happening. First thing what has happened is, Krishna is saying to us that you are actually aksharam. Aksharam. No charam. No time there is any destruction in you, in every one of us, Krishna is saying. No time there is any destruction. That aksharam, that one word aksharam is sufficient to define us. Aksharam we are. Brahma paramam. And that is brahmam. Not only brahmam, parama brahmam. That is what is present inside. Over on top of that, Krishna says there, Sobhavam adhyalpam uchade. So first Krishna talks about the swarupam. Then on top of that, Krishna says, you have got your sobhavam, which is adhyalpam. That adhyalpam is referred to the personality. Personality is born at that time. Just like when we wake up in the morning, personality takes birth. With that, with the birth of the personality, what happens? That ahankaram also comes from there, and at the same time, we also seen before that the kartrutva bhoktrutva, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, is also takes birth at the same time. Kartrutva bhoktrutva also takes birth at the same time. So therefore, it is spoken that aksharam, see, Arjuna asked a question. What is the question? Te Brahma tadvidu krishnam ityadina bhagavada arjunasya prasna bijani upadishtani ada tad prasnartham. So when he mentioned in the last chapter that te brahma tadvidu krishnam in the 29th verse, isn't it? He mentions there. Te brahma tadvidu krishnam in the 7th chapter. Ityadina bhagavada, when Krishna spoke like that, Arjunasya, Arjuna had this question. Prasna bijani ubadishtani ada tad prasnartham. Krishna, Arjuna had the question at that time. So in answer to that, he says this answer. That was this answer. Esham prasnanam yathakramam narnayaya. So immediately while answering that question, what Krishna said, he given a structure. Can we notice one thing? Arjuna is asking a question. Te brahma tadvidu krishnam ityadina bhagavada arjunasya prasna bijani upadishtani. When janamarana mokshaya mamashirte yadandiye, te brahma tadvidu krishnam. So he will know about paramatma and pratyagatma. Paramatma means the supreme soul present in everyone. Pratyagatma is the awareness inside all of us of the presence of that in us. That is pratyagatma. So when this was spoken by Krishna in the 7th chapter, Arjuna raised this issue based on that. Prasna bijani upadishtani. Prasnam, his prasnam came. Prasnam means questions. Came up from Arjuna. So to answer that question, what did Krishna do? Krishna started saying completely the whole history of it. Same thing Krishna did with Uddhava also in the Bhagavad. Uddhava asked a question and Krishna's answer, if you remember, in the 12th chapter, sa esha jivo vivara prasuti. In the same way Krishna is answering here also. What is jiva? First of all, without knowing what we are,
Is there no point in asking millions of questions, isn't it? We ourselves don't know what we are, and we are asking all questions. And Krishna gives no value to these questions. This you will always notice in the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna may keep on asking questions because Krishna knows very well that Arjuna's questions are coming from Arjuna's Swabhavam, not from the Swarupam. Questions are coming from the Swabhavam of a person. Was one whose Swabhavam is very polluted with various things, he will have millions of questions to ask. Actually, there is no question to ask. There is nothing to ask question in this world. The only thing is realization, because Krishna is saying to us, so therefore he began from the very beginning. He said, Aksharam Brahma Paramam. What is the reality? The truth is Aksharam, it is Brahmam Paramam. And then covered by that is Swabhavam Adhyalpam. And what is Adhyalpam? He says it is the personality that was born. So, Aksharam Naksharadi Idi Paramartha Tasya Va Aksharasya Prashasane Gargi. In the Brihadaranya Upanishad, that is how it is spoken about Aksharam. Aksharam means Naksharadi, it cannot change. And the only thing that is in us which doesn't change is our awareness, isn't it? That doesn't change any time. From the day we were born, right up to the grave we leave, we are only one thing. If we are constantly aware of something, is that awareness all the time. And that never goes up or down. It's always the same. It's always the same. That's why in the Shruti, in the Upanishads, this awareness is given all the importance. Because that's the only constant you have in everything, awareness. Avabhodam, it is called. As we mentioned before, the presence of Brahman in us is in two ways. One through Anandam, and the other one is Avabhodam. Anandam is the blissful state, Avabhodam is the awareness. Anandam, Avabhodam is the awareness. So out of the three things, now in various Upanishads and all, definition will vary a little bit. But if you very carefully look at it, you will see they are one and the same. Generally, we are told Satya Chitta Anandam, isn't it? Sachidanandam. That's what we are, isn't it? Sachidanandam is our nature. Krishna's nature is also Sachidanandam. So what is that in Krishna and what is that in us? Satya Chitta Anandam. Sat is the eternity. That is common for all. Sat is the eternal thing. Chit is this Avabhodam. Avabhodam is the chit potency. And Anandam is the blissful potency. So there is no difference. It's the same thing. So Krishna is also saying here, Aksharam Brahma Paramam, that is referring to the changeless nature of the soul, eternity of the soul, all that is covered in that word Aksharam. Aksharam means eternal, changeless, both. Never changes and it's always eternal. Brahma Paramam, that's what we are. And Swabhavam Adhyalpam Uchyate. Swabhavam is meant to change. It will not remain the same. As I said, it will change from morning to midday, midday to evening. It will, Swabhavam changes in everybody. That's what we call as mood, isn't it? Or mood. My mood wasn't good. I was not in a good mood, we say. What do we mean by that? We mean this, that our Swabhavam, my Swabhavam has changed. Because this mood is in the Bhava Mandalam. It is in the plane of our imagination. Something that is happening, because it is dependent on the mind. It's not dependent on the soul. It's dependent on the mind. That's why it is like that. Swabhavam Adhyalpam Uchyate. So here, Aksharam Naksharadi Iti Paramatma Tasya Va Aksharasya Prashasane Gargi Iti Shrutehe. Shruti Upanishad is saying this. So under the control of this Aksharam, everything is going on in this world. So, Aksharam Brahma Paramam. Later on Krishna will say this, in the 13th verse you will see, Omityaka Aksharam Brahmam. Another verse which later on he will say, Idi Parena Visheshanal Agrahanam. Paramam Idi Niradishaye Brahmani Akshare Upamannadaram Visheshanam. Okay. Tasya Eva Parasya Brahmanaha Pradideham Prategalma Bhava Swabhava Swabhavam Adhyalpam Uchyate. So, Krishna is mentions there, Adhyalpam is Swabhavam, isn't it? Adhyalpam is Swabhavam. So, Atmanam Deham Adhikritya Pratyagalma Daya Pravartam Paramartha Brahmavasanam Vastu Swabhava Adhyatmam Uchade Adhyatma Shabdhena Abhidhiyade. So, this swabhavam, which is called adhyatmam by Krishna here. Krishna calls it as adhyatmam here. This swabhavam is also coming from the Atma. They are not separate. It's also coming from the Atma. What happens is, at the end of when self-realization happens, it completely dissolves in the Atma. It dissolves in the Atma. That is why it is mentioned like that. The word adhyatmam is used. Deham adhikritya. Based on the body, it is in the beginning. Pratyekatma taya pravartam. And it has come from the pratyekatma. And you are, why it is given important to swabhavam is, in our conditioned state, we are identifying with that swabhavam, isn't it? That's what we identify. It's a very subtle thing, all these things. If you keep on reflecting on it, you will understand what Krishna is saying. That swabhavam and swarupam Krishna has spoken. Swarupam is the soul, swabhavam is our nature in us. Pratyekatma swarupam. So that swabhavam, which is always changing, eventually it disappears. When it goes away completely, it goes back into the swarupam and dissolves there, everything. So, bhuta bhavod bhava karo, bhudanam bhavo bhuta bhava, tasya ulbhava bhuta bhavod bhavatam karodi, idi bhuvo bhavod bhava kara, bhuta vastu ulpatti karam iti artaha. Because, bhuta bhava means, this bhavam what we have, each one of us, that is what Krishna is saying here. Buddha bhavam. Buddha bhavam means our so bhavam of all the bhavam. Bhavam of all the living entities. Buddha vastu ulpati garam iti arthaha. So this swabhavam is the cause of our birth. Can you get that point? What Krishna is saying? Buddha bhavod bhavagaro visarga karma sam idaha. Krishna has put a lot of things in the sense that Krishna is saying, this swabhavam in each one of us, which is called as adhyatmam here, swarupam, swabhavam adhyatmam uchyate, bhuta bhavod bhavagaro visarga karma samhita. This swabhavam in us, this is the cause of the birth of this body. Because this 8th chapter is going to deal with that swabhavam. How that swabhavam has to be refined, purified, and brought into a state whereby it will not give birth to another body again. That is, this 8th chapter is all about. How to change this swabhavam in us, whereby we do not generate another body again with the swabhavam inside. Because swabhavam is the cause behind it, isn't it? Buddha bhavod bhavagaram. Krishna is saying that Buddha means all living entities. They are swabhavam. That is that bhavam, bhavodkaram visargaha. Sargam visargam. Srishti. Creation. Creation, we remember primary creation, secondary creation, the Bhagavatam we talk about. That secondary creation is visargam. You know what the difference is between sargam and visargam? Sargam is the primary creation. What does that mean? It means the creation that is started from Brahma, Mahatattvam, Pradhanam, Ahamtattvam, all that has come from that, and then the very basic things in the creation. Then that is Srishti or creation beginning from Brahma. Then when we started creation, it's called a Visarga. We are also helping Brahma, isn't it? Brahma is continuing creation and we are helping with our creation here. Our creation is called Visargam. Brahma's creation is Sargam. That's why if you look, you will carefully study Bhagavatam, you will see big Upanishad's thoughts are packaged so well inside. The third canto is all about Sargam. You won't see any defect there in that creation. I mean, notice that. If you look into the third canto, the topics that is discussed in the third canto of Bhagavatam, is all Brahma, related to Brahma. Brahma, Vidura Maitreya Samvadam. If you look in everything, Kardama Prajapati's story, Devahuti's story, Kardama Prajapati Devahuti Devi, and Swayambhu Manu's story, all of them is Sargam. Why? those personalities, they come from Brahma, Brahma directly. And all their activities were perfect. All of them went back to the spiritual world. All of them realized and got back to the truth. Right? You know that in the third canto. Everything is perfect in the third canto. When you come to the fourth canto, what do you see? Everything gone completely out of order. Visargam. That is the difference. Sargam and Visargam. Atra sargo visargascha. Sargam is the third canto. Visargam is the fourth canto. In the fourth canto, what do you see? First thing, your Daksha story. Everything went wrong. Did he not? Offended Shiva. Paid a heavy price for that. So, Sati Devi had to give up her body. All these things happened in the fourth canto. Then what happened? Dhruva Maharaj story. Again, Suriji had to go through a lot of trouble, and Dhruva Maharaj also mentions there about the that he did not do the right thing at certain places. Dhruva Maharaj says about that, when even after he says, instead of going back to the spiritual world, I still desired. Desires came in. All this happens in our creation. Desires and trying to fulfill the desires. These things didn't happen in the third canto. You will notice that difference there. That they were focused and fixed on the truth. Whether it is, even after Devahuti Devi had spent a very long period of time with Karna Prajapati, enjoying in the higher level than the heavenly planets. At the end, look at the way Devahuti Devi went back to the spiritual world. Kardama Prajapati comes as her son and instructs her on the transcendental knowledge, and she goes back and realizes the truth and goes back home back to spiritual world. So everything is perfect in the third canto, everything out of order in the fourth canto. That is the difference between Sargam and Visargam. So Visargam means everything that what we are doing from our Swabhavam. Like Daksha Swabhavam, you can see how it created problems. Similarly, Suriji Swabhavam, how it created problems. Then you'll also notice in the same fourth canto, the story of Prajina Barhis, isn't it? Puranjana Bhakyanam. And Prithu Maharaj story, how everything went wrong there also, with how Prithu was born, because you had the great personality Vena was born. From Vena, who declared himself as the god, and he meant that everybody should make their offerings to him. And this whole thing happens in the fourth canto. So Visargam, the word Visargam means that thing that has come from the Swabhavam. So so here, Krishna is saying here that Aksharam Brahma Paramam Swabhavam Adhyalpam Uchyate. So Aksharam Naksharadil Paramalpam. Now, Bhuda Bhavo Bhavagara, Bhudanam Bhavo Bhuda Bhava. That Bhavam inside each one of us. Tasya Ulbhava Bhuda Bhavodhava Tam Karodi Idi Bhuda Bhavodhavagaram Bhuda Vastu Ulpatigaram Ityartaha. And all the living entities are born from this what is called Swabhavam. What is called Swabhavam. So Visargam is a very word covering a lot of things in that word Visargam. For example, you will see here that in Adhyalpam, in spiritual, normally Adhyalpam means spiritual. Adhyalpam means spiritual. So this Vaidika in Bhagavad Gita, because it is a Vedic literature, when it refers to karmam, generally it refers to the sacrifices, Vaidika yajnam, in other words. So in that yajnam or in satisfied, a lot of offering is made. That dravyam, it's called dravyam. That means rice is offered and many other articles are offered, ghee is offered. So many things are offered into the fire, isn't it? So, in general, when they say karmam, it refers to that. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has given a bigger, much more enlarged version of this karmam. Karmam, ideally, if you talk about karmam, when Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, it's referred to based on karmam, based on the varnashrama. That means the karmam is generally also connected with the yajnam, Yajnam is a karmam that is referred to, sacrifices in other words. That is a general karmam, what is mentioned there. But when you analyze it through jnanam, through knowledge, when you start analyzing, you will notice there kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam. I am the doer and I am the enjoyer is born in a person. In a person, I am the doer and I am the enjoyer is born. When these two things are born inside a person, a continuous chain of activities is born with that. That is called karma parambara. It's called karma parambara. A complete succession of karma is born along with the birth of I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. So, just like I have done such and such a thing, or I will say I will do this and this tomorrow or day after, and you call it as karma. You call it as karma. Now, all these things are happening in that thing called aksharam. Aksharam is behind it, and when aksharam is present there, swabhavam is there, and when swabhavam is there, personality comes, ahangaram. Personality means ahangaram. Ahangaram comes. With ahangaram, karta bhokta, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, comes. With that, a series of karmam comes. You see that? How it happens. Inside, first there is aksharam. In him, there is, but only in his presence all these things can happen. That's also important thing. When aksharam brahma paramam is present there, there will be swabhavam. Only when he is there, swabhavam will be there. Swabhavam is dependent on him. His presence is necessary, only then swabhavam will come. So swabhavam comes. When swabhavam comes, what happens? Personality comes. Ahangaram comes. When ahangaram comes, what happens? Kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam comes. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer comes. With the result of that, a series of karmam comes from a person. Comes from a person. So, all these things have happened. Where is the source of all this? Aksharam. Aksharam is the source. And that mysterious process, if you ask how does it happen, there is no answer to that. If you ask a question, how does it happen like this? There is no answer to that. In the presence of aksharam, Upanishads won't answer that question. They won't answer you that question. How does that happen? In the presence of aksharam inside, swabhavam will be there. When the swabhavam is there, ahangaram will be there. When ahangaram is there, kartrutva bhoktrutvam will be there. When kartrutva bhoktrutvam will be there, a series of karmam will be there. This is each one of us, what's happening in us. That means, aksharam means the soul, presence of the soul there. When that presence is there, our swabhavam, our nature comes. From that nature comes what is called, Krishna calls it as, I am the doer, false ego comes. From that false ego comes, I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. With that I am the doer and the enjoyer, a series of activities follow after that. And that's our life in this world. That's all. Finished with that. And one day it comes to an end and everything goes away. Disappears from here. So, mysterious process, if you ask that question, how does that happen? Nobody knows. Because that thing inside aksharam, he has no movement. It's nishchalam. Remember, nishchala tattve jivan mukti. The nature of that thing inside is nishchalam. It doesn't have any movement inside. When a movement happens inside, that when a movement happens in that nishchala vastu inside, it is then at that time, you can't define that, you can only see the effect. How the movement has happened, you don't know. We don't know how the movement happened inside. It's something very difficult to get grip with, isn't it? Because it's such a Krishna is explaining this to Arjuna. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, you have to go back to this basics of everything. Otherwise, Arjuna asked a question. Krishna answered the question direct. Doesn't mean anything. Krishna takes us always to the basic. From where everything has begun. That's more important as far as Krishna is concerned. Krishna says, if you understand that, then the other things you will easily understand. It is not confusing anymore. Normally, what do? In the world, if there is any problem, we will try to sort out the problem there, isn't it? We think we have sorted the problem out. Problem is not sorted yet. That is why, if you remember, study the chapter in the beginning of Karma Yoga, what Krishna says there? Krishna says, any karma, it's only complete if your vasana has gone away from inside. Normally, we say, I have completed a particular task, isn't it? I consider it as a karma. And for me, the completion of karma means if I got the result. I say, I got the result of my karma, and that means the karma is complete. Is it not? Suppose you are working in the office or in anywhere, factory or anywhere. So a particular task was given to us. We have completed the task, and you got your wages, salary for the work, what you have done. You think that the karma is completed. Krishna says no. Karma is only complete when the karma vasana has gone away from inside. If any karma, if it's not creating another vasana inside, that karma is complete. Even if it is physically, it's not complete. As far as you are concerned, the karma is complete. That is the subtlety. Similarly, here also, Krishna is saying here that some movement happens inside from that nishchala tattva. Nishchala tattva means that thing which is no movement. The tattva inside, which is the soul, where no movement happens. Normally it is nishchala, no movement. Nishchala means no movement. But some movement happened there, and from there the birth of the swabhavam has come. Swabhavam has come from that. And from swabhavam came ahankaram. And from ahankaram came kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. And with that ragadvesham, and due to that a series of karma parambara has all come, and we are in that flow at the moment. That is flowing from us, and we are going through that state at the moment. So, here you can't ask for the reason why it happened like that. You can only see the effect of that. That is what is happening. What does that effect does? The effect of this is, whenever there is a karma is performed, that covering of the soul becomes much stronger, thicker. Karma does that. Karma creates a much more stronger screen between Swarupam and Swabhavam. Instead of Swarupam disappearing, Swabhavam disappearing, Swabhavam will become stronger due to karma. This is the effect of that. So, and karma, kartrutva, bhoktrutva also. It is no point in asking how did it all start or why did it start. There is no point in asking that question. There is no point in asking that question. Upanishads won't answer that question. Why did it all start? How it started? Because as far as they are concerned, that just like if you have fallen into a deep well, you are standing on the top of the ground outside, and you are asking, oh, why did you fall into the well? He is inside the well, dying there. A deep well, he has fallen inside. And standing outside and asking him, why have you fallen into this well? How did you fall? That is meaningless, isn't it? It is no meaning. What is required is immediately you want to get him out from there. That's the first thing you have to do. Similarly, when you have a very bad dream, the only way to escape from the bad dream is to wake you up from the bad dream. Is it not? After you have woken up, you will know that, or you are sleeping at home in your house, in the nice bed, wherever you are. And whereas in the dream, you were struggling and suffering a lot. Say, for example, you are wandering in the forest somewhere, and you are starving, and somebody was attacking you, and things like that. So many things were happening in your dream at that time. But suddenly you fell from the bed to the floor, and you realized that you are at home. So how much relief do you feel at that time from that situation? So If you ask a question, why did I get a dream like this? Can anybody answer that question? Why I had such a dream? So you cannot answer that. Similarly, in this nischala vastu, nischala tattva jivan mukti. Nischala tattva means that thing tattvam inside, which has no movement inside at all, and it has no movement at all, from there this movement happened. Movement happened. How does that happen? That is what Krishna has spoken in the last chapter. If you look, you will see. Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrata mudhoyam nabhijanadi logomam ajam avyayam. If you look into the Naham prakasha sarvasya 725, yeah, that's right, 725. Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrata mudhoyam nabhijanadi logomam ajamavyayam. That is the answer to that. What happened? That is the reason for that movement happening inside the soul. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my internal, eternal creative potency, yogamaya. And so the deluded world knows me not, who am unborn and infallible. It is from that words this understanding has come. That yogamaya samavrata, maya is behind it. Yogamaya. Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrata. Mudhoyam na abhijanadi lokomam ajam avyayam. My nature, Krishna is saying, is ajam and avyayam. Ajam means he doesn't move, he doesn't take birth. Avyayam. And he is not exhaustible. He is always there. That no changes happens in him. So, naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrata. When it is covered by maya, by this potency, of maya, he says, I am never manifest. Yoga maya samavrata. Mudhoyam na abhijanadi. Understanding Krishna is very difficult because Krishna himself is trying to explain about the way Krishna is manifesting in this world. Krishna is saying to us, Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrata. Krishna is present in everyone. As the Krishna's presence is there in everybody. But unable to understand that what we perceive today is our swabhavam, not Krishna, isn't it? What we perceive now is swabhavam, our ahankaram, false ego, our I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, and the series of activities, what is called karmam. This is what in our perception at the moment. Krishna is saying here, na aham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrata. That it is not possible because, as I mentioned before, when in the presence of the soul inside, Swabhavam has put a very strong coverage to that. That coverage which is happening and this birth of this cover of the soul, which is what is called a Swabhavam, and the Ahankaram that's coming from that, and I am the doer and I am the enjoyer that's coming from that, and the series of karmam identified with that ahankaram, is all has taken birth since then. But originally, as far as Krishna is concerned, that soul who is present inside, who has no movement at all, in there something has happened which has triggered all these things from that. So what is that has triggered inside? What triggered that thing to happen like this? And this is what we call as our birth. What we are born, when we say, without conscious of all what is happening, Krishna is taking us to the very fundamental of our birth, where we were actually born. That nischala vastu, nischala tattvam, what Krishna calls it as nischala tattvam, that in that nischalada means no movement at all, there this movement happened and all these sequence of events happened after that. So he says here, Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrata mudhoyam na abhijanadi logomam ajam avyayam. So, Krishna is saying here, in everyone's heart, I am present there. In everyone's heart, I am present there. In the Upanishads also, it mentions very clearly that Esha Sarveshu Bhudeshu Gudhalma. Upanishad mentions like that. Kathopanishad says, if you look into Kathopanishad, how it puts it, that Esha Sarveshu Bhudeshu Gudha Alma Na Prakashate Drishyade Tu Agreya Buddhya Sushmaya Sushma Darshipi. Krishna says, you see how Bhagavad Gita and Kathopanishad goes very closely. You will see there. Esha Sarveshu Bhudeshu Gudho Alma Na Prakashate Drishyade Tu Agreya Buddhya Sushmaya Sushma Darshipi. Sushmaya Sushma Darshipi. Krishna says here that although in everyone Krishna is present as Andaryami, he is there in present as everyone, but everybody is not able to take notice of it. Is not able to take notice of it. Because only those people who are capable, Upanishad says, who can start from the senses and right up to the platform of the soul, those who can go to there step by step, they alone will realize it due to their extremely subtle concentration inside, very subtle level, and those who have done very good sadhana or upasana and whose intelligence is purified to such levels, only they can recognize it. Krishna says, see the word used there is sushmaya sushma darshibi. In other words, one who understands the sushmada, sushmatvam. Sushmatvam means this subtlety, extremely subtle. Sushmaya sushma darshibi says, Esha Sarv, although he is present in everyone, everybody, he is present there. Krishna is present in everybody. Sarveshu Bhudeshu. Esha Sarveshu Bhudeshu. In all living entities, he is present there. But Gudham, very much in a subtle level, in a very hidden way. Alma na prakashade. It's not manifesting for anybody. Most of us, isn't it? Almost all you can say. Gudho Alma na prakashade. He's not manifesting, is not illuminating us. Why? Drishyade tu gaya buddhya. But it is perceived, Upanishad says. Drishyade tu gaya buddhya sushmaya sushma darshibhi. Who has got that extremely subtle vision, he is seeing that. The sages are confirming that again in the Upanishads. In the Upanishads they are confirming that. So, so generally speaking, you may ask the question, does that mean that everyone do not have a right for spiritual life? And is everybody not qualified for spiritual life? If you ask that question, everyone has a right for spiritual life. Everybody has a right for spiritual life. But we cannot guarantee that everyone will get it. This is the message. Everybody has a right for spiritual life, but whether everybody will get it, we cannot say about that. What is the reason? Yoga Maya Samavrata. That's the reason. In that verse, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya. The only reason for that, Krishna is saying, is Yoga Maya Samavrata. Yoga Maya is covering that. Naham Prakasha Sarvasya. Yoga Maya Samavrataha. She has drawn a line somewhere. She has drawn a line somewhere. Nunam parasya. Just like Maya has come and put a curtain in front of that and not allowing us to see the truth. It is an interesting point, isn't it? Everyone, particularly in the human form, we all have a right for spiritual life. Scripture is not denying that. Shastram is not denying that. All of us have a right for spiritual life. But everybody will get it or not, that Shastram says we can't guarantee that. We can't guarantee. The reason, because this Yogamaya Samavrata. Yogamaya Samavrata. So this powerful thing called Yogamaya, it has come from Brahman. It has come from Brahman. And it has started from Brahman and it covers the Brahman. That Aksharam Brahma Bharamam. Yogamaya, which has come from the Brahman, it comes out this unusual power, unusual force that comes from there, Yogamaya, it comes out and it covers the Brahman. So you will see here that this particular verse, that in Saundari Lahari it says that in a very nice way, Giram Durdevim Druhina Grihinim Agamavido Hare Patnim Padmam Harasahajarim Adritanayam Turiyakabitvam Duradigama Nisima Mahima Mahamaya Vishwam Brahmayasi Parabrahma Mahishi. It's one of the famous verses in the Saundari Lahari. Saundari Lahari is in relation talking about Maya. Maya. Sri Parvati's manifestation in all of us. In all of us. Although we may address ourselves with the, you know, when studying every one of us, if you study Bhagavad Gita carefully, you will notice, on the one side, we identify with Krishna because of presence of the soul in us. On the other side, we also have to identify with Maya, who is present inside us. Is it not? It is between this Maya and Krishna that we are caught up. We know very well that we have nothing to do with Maya, but she is not leaving us. That is why Krishna says, Devi Kesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya. Maya's influence you cannot reject straight away. As long as she is there, although we may claim ourselves devotees, this, that and the other, Maya has not left us. Maya catches whether you are a devotee, whether you are a karmi, whether you are a rich man, poor man, king, pauper, doesn't matter. Maya catches everybody. So this Maya, Giramahur Devim Druhina Grihinim Agamavido Hare Patnim Padmam Harasahajarim Adridanayam Turiyakabitvam Duradigama Niksima Mahima Mahamaya Vishwam Brahmayasi Parabrahma Mahishi. This Maya and Krishna, what is that relationship? That is also interesting, isn't it? Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, Devi Kesha Gunamai Mama Maya Durateya. We are saying, well, we want to realize the truth, Krishna is the truth. He is present inside everyone as the soul, and He is eternal. We are also part of Krishna, eternal by nature. But at the moment we are not feeling that we are eternal. At the moment we are not feeling that bliss, or we are having any knowledge either. Why? Because of the presence of her inside us, this Maya. She is present inside everybody, every one of us. And that Maya, scholars who know the real meaning of the Shastram says that somebody addresses her as Saraswati of the knowledge, goddess of learning, or sometimes she is addressed with Lakshmi Devi as consort of Vishnu, or sometimes she is addressed as the consort of Shiva, Sri Parvati. In one and same person, the same Yogamaya inside, she is addressed in three different ways, at three different instances. But her majesty is this, her majestic nature is that she is able to keep everyone completely away from Krishna, being present inside in everyone. The interminable Mahamaya who revolves, and it is only due to her presence in all of us that we are being pulled into the world. How we are able to actively participate in this world outside. That's her potency. Now, one side, Krishna is giving us the knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita about our identity of the soul, and make us realize that we have nothing to do with this body, nothing to do with the mind, nothing to do with the intelligence, nothing to do with the ego, senses, none of that. From theoretically, we understand what Krishna is saying is the truth. We accept that. But we are unable to come to realize that. Why? She is from the other side doing all the other things. pulling us into the world, keeping us occupied with the body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything. Two different forces operating within the same unit. The interesting thing here is, she has come from him. She has come from him. So, that's why it mentions there that Parabrahma Mahishi. Why it is called Parabrahma Mahishi? Parabrahma Mahishi means, just like, suppose a mother who does not want to show the father to the child, a good mother will not create any tension between the father and the child. A good mother will not create any problem between the father and the child. Similarly, just like the mother will introduce the father to the child. So, here you can see Vishnu and Lakshmi, Shiva and Parvati, Brahma and Saraswati, in the same way, Turiyam, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. Beyond these three states, all these three states are under her control. The fourth state, Turiyam, is the state in which we are in connection with Krishna. You see? You know that Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, which we call as three modes of material nature, she is the controller. The fourth state, what is addressed as Turiyam, is in the state where you know Krishna, where you identify with Krishna state. So, you can see pure Shakti, Swarupam, that identification with Shakti inside, that that the birth of this Yogamaya inside us, and when the Yogamaya give way to us to know Krishna inside, that is realized by the jnanis, when they realize the self. That is what is called self-realization. When the Maya inside withdraws and allows us to see, experience the truth inside, which is Krishna, that is what is referred to here, that the realization from that Nischala Tattvam state is that state, and that is known by the jnanis. Jnanis means realized persons. They know about that. And we can only, we cannot, this cannot be explained more than this. This has to be experienced. How Maya moves away and how we realize our identity inside. When Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita, Devihyesha gunamayi mama maya durateya maam evayam prabadyande maya medam tarantite. Isn't it? That's the verse. When you read that verse, what do you think? You are thinking that, oh, I need to put a lot of effort to get rid of this, to beat Maya down, isn't it? We think like that. Because that's an immediate impact, reaction from inside. Mama Maya Durateya, Krishna is saying, it's very difficult to overcome, isn't it? But Krishna says, Maam evayam prabadyande maya medam tarandide. He gave a supplementary clause there saying that those who have surrendered to me can overcome. Then we started thinking, oh, now I am surrendered to Krishna, so I have overcome Maya. We interpret ourselves in this way within us, within our own mind. But the more interesting thing is, that very thought that I have surrendered is also coming from her. That's where everything misfires. You cannot beat her. It is not possible. There is absolutely no point in fighting with Maya. That is the unfortunate, difficult thing, part of it. She will withdraw when she feels that it is time to withdraw. She will withdraw herself. You won't be able to force her to withdraw from inside. That's how she is present inside. And you can also see your vacant state, your dream state, your deep sleep state, all these three states are under her control. Are under her control. The only state where you are in Krishna's control is the Turiyam state. The fourth state, is it not? So that is why it is difficult to reject. When Krishna talks about Maya in the Bhagavad Gita, Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavradaha mudhoyam nabhijanadi logomam hajamavyayam. He is saying like that. And devikhyesha gunamai, all those verses. So, when the jnanis or the realized personalities, when they are in their samadhi state, That samadhi state is that nishchalata. That means maya has not put any curtain there. Curtain has been taken out. At that point, what are the nature? There is no sankalpam, there is no vigalpam inside. No sankalpa vigalpam inside at that time. No sankalpa vigalpam inside. And at that point, there is no movement and the mind does not take birth. Mind is not born inside. Mind has no movement, which means practically there is no mind at that time. Mind has closed down. She is not functioning anymore. Intelligence is also closed down. Neither mind is working nor the intelligence is working. What else is gone? I am so and so. That thought is also gone from inside. These are all the realized state. I am somebody. I am this, I am that. All identities. That is also closed it down. And the body has also gone away. Body has also gone away. Personality has gone away. And completely in a state transcending the body, transcending the mind, transcending the intelligence, transcending the ego. That existence. How does it say? Mandukya Upanishad talks about that state. What it says is, in the Upanishad, how it is mentioned there is, na andar pratyam, no consciousness inside, na bahir pratyam, no conscious of outside either. Inside, outside, that consciousness is not existing. No ubhayada pratyam, na pratyana ghanam cha, pratyam na apratyam, adrishtam avyavahartham, agraham alakshanam achindyam, vipadesham egatya asaram, prabhavova shamanam shandam shivam advaidam chaturtham manyade sa alma sa vijayaha. This is how that state is spoken. It says here, Twiriyam, that is the fourth state. When one has gone beyond the grip of Maya or the three states, modes of material nature, when he has crossed all that, what is known as the fourth state comes, isn't it? Turiya state. There, he is conscious, which is conscious of the internal world. Internal world means inside. What is going on? That means the activities of the mind, intelligence, ego. This is all the internal world. It's not conscious of the external world. That means the world what we are experiencing outside. Or not that which is conscious of both, nor which is a mass of all sentience, not that which is simple consciousness, not that which is insentient. It is not related to anything. Unthinkable, indescribable, especially the nature of consciousness constituting the self alone, negation of all phenomena, the peaceful, all blissful, and that non-dual substance. That is what is known as fourth state Turiyam. This is the definition in the Mandukya Upanishad about that state. So here, it is from that state, what is mentioned there, that prabhanjoma shamam, the whole world outside is quietened at that stage and there is no experience of the world at all for the realized personality. Body is not there, mind is not there, and he has also lost that consciousness, I am such and such a person. That has also gone away. And everything has gone, and then he is situated in that nishchalata. Nishchalata means nishchalatattvam, what addressed as chitsarupam. Only chitshakti is present at that time. It is from there the birth has happened. And that is auspicious. And in that state, when there is a movement happens, because that is a state of stillness, it's still at that state. When a movement happens, and from that movement, or chalanam, from there, a unusual power comes out, anirvachaniyam, as they call it. It starts from there, and that power which starts from there, it comes through the eyes and starts seeing, it comes through the ears and starts listening, the sound, the same thing, what comes from that soul, It comes through the ear and starts seeing. And it is the same power that comes to the ear and starts listening. And it's the same power that comes through the nose and starts smelling. And it's the same power that comes through the tongue and starts tasting. And it's the same power which comes through the skin and feel the touching, touch, sense of touch. So, what is interesting is, we say that hearing, tasting, smelling, seeing, all is different, isn't it? Five different senses are doing. Senses are not the cause behind it. It is this particular force that has come from that movement inside. When that comes out, only thing is through different exits, when it comes out, it performs different work. That's how we have to understand the activities, because otherwise it will not make any sense. Here, so that thing, when it comes out, it keeps on multiplying. For example, it comes through the eyes and it starts so many different objects. With that, it creates more and more chitavritti inside, and it multiplies and enlarges itself, the eye. That source which has come from inside comes through the eyes, relate with the world, and the world expands. Similarly, it comes through the ear and the world of the sound expands. It comes through the taste and the world of the taste expands. Similarly with the touch. So the sensual activities, the expansion of the sensual activities happens due to the presence of that power, unusual power that comes from the soul and comes out. And that is what is known as vistaram. Vistaram means Bhuta Bhavod Bhavagaro Visarga Karma Samhita. So here, so Visara means, you will see that word coming later in the Bhagavad Gita. Visara means how different activities that is coming through the senses, how it expands in the world. So, Anirvachaniyam, one of the definitions for the mind is that mind that comes out through this force that has come out, we call it as the mind. But when it comes through the senses to the world outside, through the different senses, when it starts relating with the worldly objects, that it started from the Turiyam state. Turiyam was the original state where Chittavritti did not exist. So if you ask the question that is this power is separate from Brahman, if you ask the question, no, it's not. It is the same. That it is also Brahman, but when you look at it, it appears as though it is a separate entity. It is a separate entity. So, all these things, what Krishna has spoken about in the Bhagavad Gita and the commentaries, all these things, you can only listen and think about it. You may not get to grip with it now because of our strong curtain inside. It's difficult to accept, understand that. Only you can see that, because if you start thinking about all these things, you will create a lot of problems. Because it won't get you anywhere. You will be completely confused about it if you get very deeply absorbed in that. It's very difficult because that is the way. From nischalada, it has started. That means from there was no movement, no chalanam inside. The soul, there was no movement inside. From there, some movement started. The movement started in this way, that from there it developed into personality. Svabhavam came, personality came, ahankaram came. Then after that, I am the doer and I am the enjoyer came. Karmam came, and then a series of karmam came with that, which has actually expanded itself in a big way. And the same force that is inside when the movement happened, that force which has come out, the same force has come through different senses and helped and activated our karma through the eyes, ears, nose, senses, all other senses. So, karma mandalam, in order to perform karma, you need the senses of action, isn't it? You need both senses of knowledge and senses of action. So, both senses of knowledge and senses of action were activated by this force that has come from inside. It has done that. All these things it has done. When this unusual force that came from inside, from the soul, from nischalada, when the movement happened, that force came up. That is what Krishna is saying there. ഭൂതഭാവോ അക്ഷരം ബ്രഹ്മപരമം സ്വഭാവം അധ്യാത്മമുച്ചതേ ഭൂതഭവോദ്ഭവകരോ ഭവോദ്ഭവകരം വിസർഗം ആൻഡ് വിത്ത് ദാറ്റ് വിസർഗം സ്റ്റാർട്ടഡ് കർമ്മസംഹിത കർമ്മപരമ്പര സ്റ്റാർട്ടഡ് അലോങ് വിത്ത് ദാറ്റ് നോ ഐ നോ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് വെരി സിംപിൾ ടു ട്രാൻസ്ലേറ്റ് ഇൻ ദ വേ ഇറ്റ്സ് ഡൺ ദർ ബട്ട് ദി മെസ്സേജ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് കാരീഡ് ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് വേർഡ്സ് ഈസ് പർട്ടിക്കുലർലി വെരി എക്സ്ട്രോർഡിനറി ദാൻ It says here that the action pertaining to the development of this material bodies is called karma or fruitive activities. That's all it is mentioned there. Bhuta bhavod bhavagaro visarga karma samhita. In a simple terms, that's the way to put it. Because it's no point in analyzing this very deeply because we won't know what to do about it. There's no answer to that question. Upanishads also says no answer. Where this force came inside us, to engage in karma. This is always the big question, isn't it? How come that as soon as we grow up, very powerful motivation from inside to go to work, to earn money, to start a family, and all desires like this, where is that force coming from? And that is what Krishna is saying here, that it has a very close link with that svabhavam, which is adhyatmam, uchyate, bhuta bhavodbhavagaro visarga karma samhitam. That is what it is called, karma. So, here, yogis also says the same thing. This is in the Jnanamargam, it is spoken in this way. from nishchalata, from that silent state, we appears as though something new has come. But actually it is not new, it has come from the same source. So, yogis will say in a different way, they will mention it like this. They see that substance inside, chit-shakti chetana rupam, ജഡശക്തി ജഡാത്മിക ലളിതാ സഹസ്രനാമം ദാറ്റ് ശക്തി ഇൻസൈഡ് ദാറ്റ് പവർ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് കം അബൌട്ട് ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് ഗോട്ട് ടു ഫോംസ് ഇൻസൈഡ് ടു ഡിഫറെൻറ്റ് പവർ ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് ഫോഴ്സ് വൺ ഈസ് കോൾഡ് വിദ്യാശക്തി അതർ വൺ ഈസ് കോൾഡ് അവിദ്യാശക്തി വിദ്യ അവിദ്യ സ്വരൂപിണി ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഹെർ ഡിസ്ക്രിപ്ഷൻ ഓഫ് ശ്രീപാർവതി ഓർ യോഗമായ ഇസ് ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ് വിദ്യ അവിദ്യ സ്വരൂപിണി She has got both in her. When she manifests in a person in the form of knowledge, you will go for Chaitanya, for self-realization. When she manifests in a person in the form of avidya, you will go for material activities. This is how it happens. Vidya, avidya, surubani. You see, the sages, they are studying these forces from a very subtle level and they have given us in through Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads also. They are trying to tell us that if you know the fundamentals of these things, you should not get disturbed over what's happening in this world. Because the root of all these things is from that nishchalada, from that silent state of the soul, where from the soul all these things have come about. We completely ignore the soul, we get busy with all the things what's happening in the world. So chidagni kundasambhuta. Chidagni kundasambhudam. It says here, Chidagni kundasambhudam. That's also from the Lilitha Sahasranam. It says there that Chidagni, Chit Shakti is like a fire burning inside. Chit Shakti. Not to compare with the ordinary fire, what it means is, it's a fire of knowledge, Chit Shakti. That is burning inside. She starts from there. That Agni kundam, that sacrifice of Chidagni, Agni kundam, Sambhuda. She was born from there. Who? This Yogamaya. She was born from that Chidagni inside. And what does she do? First thing what she does is, she creates a mind inside when she is born. In a person, she creates a mind inside. And then also she creates, I am this, I am so and so. Ahankaram, false ego, also she creates. And then she gives you a feeling that you have got this body. From the Shastram point of view, you don't have a body. It's a very difficult thing to explain that, isn't it? So you tell somebody you don't have a body. What will they say? But Shastram is telling us, she has first created the mind, she has created the false ego also, and then she make you feel that you have got a body. And body is, that's how much they consider, about this body is concerned. And what else she does? She makes you feel that the world is there. So the world, existence of the body, existence of the mind, existence of the false ego, all that she has created. And that is what Krishna is saying here. Bhudo bhavam udbhavagaro visargaha karma samidaha. From there, karma has all come from that. From all these things have come from that. So because adding up all these things together, which one? The birth of the mind, the birth of the false ego, and the birth of body, and the birth of the world in us, all these things put together in Vedantam, it's called Maya. Maya is very difficult, isn't it, to understand. Generally, when we say Maya, sometimes people say, oh, I was in Maya, Prabhu. He says, I don't know whether they understood what they are talking about, because you cannot come out of Maya so easily. Nobody can come out. As long as I am thinking I have a body, I am in Maya. As long as I am thinking I have a mind, I am in Maya. As long as I am thinking I have some false ego inside, I am in Maya. So tell me a state when you don't feel that you don't have any of these things. Then you can say you are not in Maya. So one instance, when somebody came up to Prabhupada and said to Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, I was in Maya, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said to him, what about now, he said. As though he felt that he was not in Maya at that moment. Maya is such a powerful force. Even Krishna is paying respects to her. Krishna brings her with him when he comes to this world. Is it not? When he appears in this world, Krishna says, you should also come. Because it is with her, Krishna conducts all the business here. And you can see in the Bhagavadam how it is spoken, isn't it? When she appeared, along with Krishna came, Maya also came with him. She had a duty to perform here. So, because she creates all these things. Maya means, ya, ma, what is not there, that's Maya. So, on the one hand, we feel all these things are there. Which one? Mind, body, intelligence, ego, everything. But in reality, they don't have any existence. This you will understand. You see, it is the difficulty is this, that when we say this thing, if we say the world is not real, people will ask this question, how can you say the world is not real? They will ask always this question. If you say the body is not real, they will ask the question, how do you say the body is not real? Actually, from the Shastram point of view, although we may say Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya, Brahma is truth, Jagat is false, the Vedas have no intention to tell us whether it is real or not real. That is not their goal. The goal behind it is, they are trying to tell, Veda is telling us, that in your life, you have got a certain amount of energy. Certain amount of energy you have. That's all. Each one of us have got a particular amount of energy available, which is called Shraddha. If that Shraddha goes into the world, you won't be able to use that Shraddha for realizing the truth. Therefore, what Shastram says to us is, that world is not real. Shastram is not interested whether the world is real or not. It's not important. And this is the only reason in all the Shastram they talk about creation. Why? What do I get by come to know of the creation of this world? It's nothing. I'm not going to gain anything from that. But the curiosity inside is so strong to find out where the world has come. It's very difficult for us to ignore it, isn't it? Even everybody's, and scientists are also trying to do the same thing. They have this new experiment now, what's going on in Switzerland with the God particle. They want to find out where is the origin, isn't it? From where has it all come? So that curiosity or nature, inquisitiveness, will never go away from us. Will never go away from us. It's so strong in everybody. If you say to somebody about God, so what have they done? They told us that God has created this. And then they have told us that the world is, God has created this world in this way, that way. So many explanations are given to us. Idea is not that we want to get involved with the creation process. Not by knowing this creation process, what will I gain? What will I gain from that creation process? The idea is not to teach us about the creation. That's why when you start studying creation also you have got questions. Again questions will start coming from that. So, keeping all that aside, this capacity what Krishna has given us in this life, Brahmava Loga Dishanam Udamava Deva, Bhagavadam says. Brahmava Loga Dishanam, that means a capacity to realize the truth, for which very good Shraddha is required. Seriousness, isn't it? Self-realization means seriousness. Seriousness to realize the truth. And that Shraddha or capacity, what Krishna has given, if we use it for all other rubbish things in this world, you won't be able to get the truth. You will not make it. That's what it is. Therefore, to take our attention away from the world, Upanishad says to us, world is not real. By saying that, they want us to keep out of it. That's all what they want us to tell us. And become more inward, to go inside looking for the truth. That is the purpose behind it. It is, for Upanishads are concerned, it doesn't matter whether the world is real or not real. What does it matter? For some people will argue otherwise. They'll say, oh, the world is real. How can you say it's not real? And somebody else say it's not real. So one who says it's real, one who says it's not real, they are both in the same category. Because as far as your realization is concerned, you don't have the truth whether the world is real or not real. You don't know the truth yet, isn't it? Self-realization hasn't happened yet. Therefore, it is mentioned there. So, therefore, although it is not there, but you feel it is there. That is the power of Maya. Maya creates this. And if you ask the question, is Maya true? You have to say, yes, it is true. And if you ask the question, Maya is not true? Yes, it's not true. Both are correct as far as Maya is concerned. This is spiritual life. That's where the difficulty is. We have come over with our box-like mind and we want to sort out Maya with the boxed mind, which will never happen. It's not possible. That's why in Vedantam, especially Vedic philosophy, that this Maya is everywhere in everything. Therefore, just like give the example that when you look into the in the desert, far away, long distance, far away, you see there is water, which you call it as mirage, isn't it? Normally you call it as mirage. And you go there, and when you find that there is no water there. There is no water there. Similarly, all these thoughts about this world, about this body, about this mind, and all other things also, till we realize the truth, it is there. Till we realize the truth, it is there. But when you realize the truth, you will know that it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. So, this is all called a drishyam, isn't it? Drishyam, this is called. What you see, world, the body, the mind, they are called drishyam. So, in drishyam state, when you are, drikka means the seer, when you are seeing the drishyam, when you are seeing the drishyam or the scene, the seer, when he sees the seen objects, when he is seeing there, at that time, you come to know about the five material elements, and inside those five material elements, the body is there, and in that body, I am existing, and I am such and such a person, some identity, all these things, and say, individual, I come to know about that. And behind this thing, all this is what is going on within me. That means in the spectrum of Maya, the world is there, the mind is there, the body is there, intelligence is there, and inside all of this, I come to know that there is an awareness existing there. And we should know about that awareness. That is what Krishna is saying in that verse. Next verse, if you look, you will see there. Text 4. Adhibhutam kshayo bhavam purushaschadi devatam adi yajnyohamevatram dehe deha vridhamvaram adhibhutam kshayo bhavam purushaschadi devatam adi yajnyohamevatram dehe deha vridhamvaram. അതിഭൂതം ക്ഷരോ ഭാവഹ പുരുഷശ്ച അതിദൈവതം അതിയജ്ഞോഹം ഏവത്ര ദേഹേ ദേഹഭൃതാം വര. ഫിസിക്കൽ നേച്ചർ ഈസ് നോൺ ടു ബി എൻഡ്ലെസ്ലി മ്യൂട്ടബിൾ. ദ യൂണിവേഴ്സ് ഈസ് ദി കോമിക് ഫോം ഓഫ് ദ സുപ്രീം ലോർഡ് ആൻഡ് ഐ എം ദാറ്റ് ലോർഡ് റെപ്രസെൻറ്റഡ് ആസ് ദി സൂപ്പർ സോൾ ഡ്വെല്ലിംഗ് ഇൻ ദ ഹാർട്ട് ഓഫ് എവ്രി എംബോഡീഡ് ബീയിങ്. സോ അതിഭൂതം ക്ഷരോ ഭാവ പുരുഷശ്ചാതി ദൈവതം അതിയജ്ഞോഹമേവത്ര ദേഹേ ദേഹഭൃതാം വര. വി ഹവ് സീൻ ഹിയർ ദാറ്റ് ദി ബേർത്ത് ഓഫ് അവർ വാട്ട് വി ഹവ് സീൻ ഇൻ ദ ലാസ്റ്റ് വേർഡ്സ് ഈസ് ദ ബേർത്ത് ഓഫ് ദി ഫ്രം ദ സ്വഭാവം ഓഫ് എ പേഴ്സൺ. സ്വഭാവം അഗെയിൻ വിച്ച് ഹസ് കം ഫ്രം ദി സ്വരൂപം. ഫ്രം ദാറ്റ് സ്വഭാവം Krishna mentions that all other karma samnidaha. That means from Svabhavam was born the Ahankaram or false ego, and from there I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, and with that various kinds of ragadvesham, and with the result of all that is a series of karma parambara, continuous succession of karma after that. All that has come about from that. So there we have also seen that chit shakti chetana roopam jada shakti jadaatmika, that this power which has come about from the soul, if you ask the question, is that power separate? No, it has come from the soul. Source is the same, but in another method it is spoken that chidagni kunda sambhuta, her birth is from the fire of that of chit shakti. Chit Shakti is the fire inside. Chit Agni Kunda Sambhuta Devakarya Samudhyama, it says in the Lalasa Sam, that she has born from there and she has started her activities. And that activities that has come about has resulted in all these things what we have spoken. And that is making us realize that the body exists, the mind exists, the world exists, false ego exists, everything exists. And that realization, what we are experiencing like this all the time, that it exists, it exists, it exists, that power is coming from Maya. Maya's power, that is. On the other hand, my awareness of I am existing, which is coming from Krishna, we are not experiencing. Although we intellectually accepted awareness of our existence, in reality, we are more controlled by the power of Maya, more than the power of Krishna. Is it not? You can see in practically, if you look at yourself, all of us, we will see that more we are conscious of the influence of Maya in us than the influence of Krishna in us. Although Maya has come from Krishna and Maya has created this identification with the body, mind, intelligence, ego and the material world, with which we are very closely identifying with, Maya is doing that part of it, and Krishna, with whom we have the closest connection spiritually, because we are actually Krishna's expansion or Krishna's presence in us, that part we are not experiencing at the moment. Oh, that is what in this verse it is mentioning here, that realization that Krishna is saying here, come out of this realization relationship with Maya, you have to come back to the real state of my real relationship with me. That is that awareness, and that is what that is spoken in this verse, which we'll look at it after a few minutes. So Shri Bhagavan Vacha in the third verse, Aksharam Brahma Paramam Svabhavam Adhyatmam Uchyate Bhuta Bhavodbhavagaro Visarga Karma Samhitaha. വിസർഗം വിസർജനം ദേവതോ ഉദ്ദേശന ചരു പുരോടാശോദേ ദ്രവ്യസ്യ പരിത്യാഗ സ ഏഷ വിസർഗലക്ഷണം യജ്ഞഃ കർമ്മസംഹിത കർമ്മശബ്ദിത ഇതി ഏതത് ഏതസ്മാത് ഹി ബീജഭൂതാത് വൃഷ്ടിയാദി ക്രമേണ സ്ഥാവരജംഗമാനി ഭൂതാനി ഉദ്ഭവന്തി. ഇൻ ദർ ഇസ് മെൻഷൻസ് ദാറ്റ് വിസർഗോ കർമ്മസംഹിത. Visargam is that from karmam, what, how it is born. Like in that, as you said, in that purport also you will see Prabhupada mentions there,
that how the living entity is taking birth, isn't it? It is taking birth through the you can see in the in that verse 3, paragraph 3, in the process of sacrifice, the living entity makes specific sacrifices to attain specific heavenly planets and consequently reaches them. When the merit of sacrifice is exhausted, then the living entity descends to earth in the form of rain, then takes on the form of grains, and the grains are eaten by man and transformed into semen, which impregnates the woman, and thus the living entity once again attains the human form to perform sacrifice and so repeat the same cycle. In this way, the living entity perpetually comes and goes on the material path. Krishna-conscious person, however, avoids such sacrifices. It takes directly to Krishna consciousness and thereby prepares himself to return to Godhead. So, here, visargo karma samhita, bhuta bhavodbhavagaro visarga karma samhita. So, karma samhitam, in the Upanishad's terms, if you look at it, that karma that has come from the sacrifices, or sacrifices, how it was conducted, that is what the karma that is referred into the Shastram. In other words, that the rice or the flour that is used for the food or for the sacrificial ingredients, and after that has been eaten, and from that comes out the product that comes out is called visargam. And in order to create material objects, material necessities, for example, like the food, the grains, the vegetables, everything, for the sacrifice that is required for that is called karmam. And earlier, if you look into the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, annad bhavandi bhutani parjanyad anna sambhava, there is a verse there. That means there mentions there, from karmam, yajnyo bhavadi parjanyam, there that verse says there. From yajnyam comes rain, and from the rain comes the grains, vegetables, everything. So that happens in a very sequence. So from that yajnyam or sacrifice, visargo karma samhita, that karmam what is referred to here is that karmam or sacrifice, from there everything has taken birth. So, adibhudam kshareo bhava purushaschadi devadam adi yohamevatra dehe deha bradham vara. That's the words we are now looking at it. So, here you can see Krishna has told Arjuna a word that he has used there, deha bradham vara, the last line. Dehe deha bradham vara. Deha brith means, what does deha brith means? One who drags the body everywhere. One who is dragging his body everywhere. Dragging means carrying it with him everywhere. So, why is it called like that? Because in your ignorant state, you are actually dragging the body. You are dragging your body everywhere in your ignorant state. Because, because Shastram says like this, that for a person who is ignorant, for him, body is a weight. Body is a weight. Bharo avivekinaha. And so just like bharo avivekinaha. Shastram, when you study Shastram, you develop vivekam. Vivekam means discrimination. So by studying Shastram, the benefit of studying Shastram is you develop discrimination. Able to discriminate between the self and the non-self, between the soul and the remaining. That discrimination happens to a person by studying Shastram. So, but if he has not developed that discrimination after that, then if he has studied Shastram, it becomes a burden for him. Shastram becomes a burden for him, because purpose of the Shastram, studying Shastram, is to develop this discriminative power in a person. So if you are not developing that discrimination inside, then what you have done is only thing is that you have, that Shastram has become a burden for you.
It is from the Bhartrahari's famous verse, this is. Bhartrahari is saying there, Shastram you have studied, but if you could not develop the discrimination from that, you have not come to this conclusion inside, that I am not this body, and body is not me, I am soul, I have nothing to do with the body, all this understanding inside, if that has not happened, then Shastram is like a heavy weight behind you. You are not getting anything from that. And therefore, you are called as a donkey at that time. You are called as a donkey. The reason for that is, donkey normally eats the paper. Isn't it? Eats the paper. Similarly, you have eaten all the Shastram, all the books. That's all what it is. So, if you have not vivekam or discrimination inside, Shastram is a burden. Shastram is a burden. Because he does not know the purpose of Shastram. Purpose of Shastram, bhāro jñānam chara shivaha. Because similarly, rāginaha, one who has attachment, so rāginaha, one who has attachment to the sense objects. So, and he is developing more and more attachment to sense objects. And he has got knowledge inside, spiritual knowledge. But on the other hand, his attachment for sense enjoyment is increasing. then the knowledge is a burden for him. It's a very difficult state, isn't it? Suppose spiritual knowledge is in a person. He has understood about spiritual life in a very depth. After that, if you are still getting attracted to sense gratification more and more, then this knowledge will become a burden for you. Because it causes problems for you inside, is it not? So that's what he's saying here. So then you will start thinking, I wish I didn't know anything about this knowledge of the soul. I wish I didn't know anything about it. Because only when you know about it, it's a burden inside. And then on the other hand, you are driven by the sense of enjoyment. So that is a heavy weight. Then ashandasya manobharaha. Similarly, if there is, after realization, after studying all the Shastram, if there is no shanti inside or satisfaction inside, all the time hankering and lamenting after something, then the mind is a burden, isn't it? So the mind is a burden. Bharaha anatma viduha anatma viduhu vapuhu. That means one who has no realization of the soul, for him the body is a burden. Body is a anatma viduhu viduha vapuhu. Vapu means body. Body becomes just a burden. One who bharaha anatma viduhu, one who has not realized the soul, for him body is always a burden. Body is always a burden. That is based on this understanding. That's why Krishna is calling him dehe dehabhridam vara. Because you are carrying this body, dehabhridam vara. Dehabhridam vara means that that one who has no knowledge of the soul, for him body is a burden. Body is a burden. And you can only say that he becomes a qualified person or a matured person. When can you say? When he starts inquiring about the soul. Only then you can say that for him body is not a burden anymore. Little by little, when one comes to knowledge of the soul and discusses and hears about the soul more and more and moves away from the identification of the body, and the bodily disturbances is not causing distress inside or disturbing him anymore, then you can say the knowledge is working, is it not? Otherwise, simply keeping it in the brain and the mind is no good. All what Krishna is talking about in the Bhagavad Gita, if it is not separating us away from the body, distancing us ourselves from the body, Bhagavad Gita is simply a burden for us. What does it help us? It's not of any benefit to us, isn't it? That is the point Krishna is making here. That is why he used that word dehe dehabhridam vara. Dehabhridam means this, one who is having this heavy weight of the body behind him. You have studied all the Shastram, but no discrimination inside. You have studied all the Shastram and no attachment is not going away from inside. You have studied all the Shastram, always disturbed inside. That is what the question is. That is why this question has come up. So, adiyajna charo bhavam purushaschadi devadam. Adiyajnyoha mevatra dehe dehabradam vara. Dehe dehabradam vara. So, always we have to know when Krishna is saying something in the Bhagavad Gita that there must be a reason behind saying that. When he is addressing Arjuna dehabradam vara, he means this, that person who has not discussed, who has not developed any discrimination inside, completely on the identification with the body, for him Arjuna, body is a burden. One who has not developed any detachment from this world, but at the same time knowledge of the Shastram is inside, for him Shastram is a burden. One who has always disturbed inside, mind is giving a lot of trouble and dissatisfied inside, for him Krishna is saying knowledge is a burden. Knowledge is a burden because the result of knowledge is Vairagyam, Shanti, Tripti inside, satisfaction inside, and always freedom from this body, freedom from the body. So separately, and that is why when he starts giving attention to the soul, when he starts giving, able to devote more and more time for self-realization, and he is going after that Brahmavidya or knowledge of the self, and when it starts dropping into the ear properly, and when he starts realizing, separated from the body, I have a separate existence. When that comes to him, which doesn't experience any death, and at that time, while living within this body itself, it is possible to have that absolute freedom. And when this message falls into his ears, you can say that Dehe Dehabhrudam Vara. That is what that means. Dehe Dehabhrudam Vara. When all these things happen, Dehabhrudam Vara. Krishna is mentions there. Dehabhrudam Vara. This, it's a very important word there in that verse. And the Lord represented as the super soul dwelling in the heart of in the heart of every embodied being. This embodied being means this. Embodied being means that one who is completely in the grip of the body and the mind and the ego inside, unable to come out of it. Then he has studied Shastram. But the Shastram has also become a burden. Because he is getting attracted by sense enjoyment, unable to control his mind, become victimized by the world outside. And the mind is becoming a problem because it's causing a lot of distress for him inside. So he wants to move away from the mind. He is unable to do so, although he has studied Shastram. And Krishna has spoken so much about the mind, its origin, its activities, and how it causes difficulties for us, but he is not taking it seriously. That person, that is what. So Krishna is saying here, when this knowledge goes inside, Brahmavidya as it is called here, when Brahmavidya goes inside, he started accepting inside that separated from this body, I exist. First thing. I exist separately from the body. And that existence has no death. All these things has to happen with inside. Otherwise, all this has no meaning. Simply studying this and keeping it in the brain and the mind is no use. It has to happen within. That as we advance in the progress of spiritual life is this. That as we move further, attraction to the world goes away. Attraction to the sense enjoyment goes away. We become more and more serious about spiritual life. Which means that as a spirit soul, we have an eternal existence. We don't finish with the body, isn't it? With the body we have death. With the mind we have death. With intelligence we have death. With ego we have death. With the soul we have no death. And if we don't move on to that state from the identification from all these things, Krishna is saying here that he is just like a donkey living in this world. He is carrying all these things in his head. What is the use? That is his question here. He says, Bharo avivegineha shastram. He has studied shastram, but it has become a bharam. It's a weight for him. And he addressed in neither the very studying of the shastram itself was not necessary for him. Therefore, he says here, body has been created for a, or has been given for a purpose. Suppose you have got into a boat and you are trying to cross over the river. Cross over the river. So what was the purpose of the boat? Purpose of the boat was to cross to the other side of the river. And then the boat has done its purpose for which it was given. Otherwise, if it has not reached the other side of the river or the sea, what will happen? Like the Titanic, isn't it? It'll go underneath in the water. Similarly, you have got a good body, a good health, and in spite of all that, what has happened? You have told, like Mujgunda told Krishna at the end, isn't it? Mujgunda says to him, I've got the body like this, a very nice body what you have given me, but I didn't utilize it for the right purpose. Mujgunda said this to Krishna, didn't he? Kadanjit anyangam pajido yatha pashu. He says, like an animal I lived in this world. I didn't utilize this body for the right purpose which you have given to me. So Arjuna also has come to Krishna and wanted to hear this Bhagavad Gita from him. Krishna says to him, Dehapradam Vara, because among the people who have accepted the body, you are the best, because you at least got this inquisitiveness inside you, that able to inquire about these things, that you got this seriousness in you to inquire about this. Therefore he says there, Adhibhudam Kshayo Bhava. Adhibhudam Kshayo Bhava. That means one who has Adhibhudam. Adhibhudam is the first thing he's explaining here, that Adhibhudam Pranijadam Adhikritya Bhavati Idi Kaha Asau Kshayaha Kshayadi Idi Kshayo Vinashi Bhavo Yal Kinjit Janimad Vastu Ityartaha. So Adhibhudam is what? It depends on the living entity. It depends on the living entity. And it gets destroyed at the end. Adhibhudam. Adhibhudam is that thing which depends on the living entity. What does it mean? It means then Pranijadam. Pranijadam means it is with the birth of the living entity. Adhikritya bhavadi idi kaha asau kshara kshradi idi kshara vinashi bhavo yad kinjit janimat vastu ityartaha. When a living entity gets separated from the body completely, Adhibhudam goes away. Adhibhudam goes away. That Adhibhudam includes all these things. What all? The body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego. These are all a part of that Adhibhudam. Part of the Adhibhudam. So, what will happen is that you will see there that Adhibhudam Pranijadam. That with the birth, when, if you can understand this now, that when we are born, as you know that earlier as we saw, the soul who is present inside, from whom that Chit Shakti came, the thing what is known as the mind and the Ahambhav Mahangaram and then the Karma Parambara and everything. All the sequence of karma what we have executed in this world, identification with the body and mind, intelligence, so many things in different, and also the same force is working through different senses in this world. The same force that comes through the eye, through the ear, through the mouth, through the nose, through the touch, five different senses, senses of knowledge. And through five different senses of action, also it's operating in the world. So five senses of knowledge, five senses of action, the same power is working. The same power is working through these five plus five, five senses of knowledge and five senses of action. And it expands our world. It expands our world, isn't it? That's what it happens to us. So when that expansion happens, Krishna is mentioning here, Visarga Karma Samya. That's all happened through the karmam and multiplication of karmam and expansion of karmam in different ways. Now, in these words, Krishna is saying the nature of Adhibhudam. What is Adhibhudam means? Earlier, Krishna talked about Aksharam, Brahmam, Paramam. Svabhavam, he spoke about that Adhyalpam, Uchade. Then, Buddha Bhavod Bhavagaro Visarga Karma Samya. Karmam also Krishna has spoken there. In this verse, Krishna is talking about Adhibhudham. What is Adhibhudham? Adhibhudham by nature is Kshayam. Adhibhudham by nature is Kshayam. That means it has no permanent existence. It has no permanent existence. It will disappear at one point when we come to the state realization of Aksharam Brahma Paramam. When we realize Aksharam, Kshayam will disappear. Kshayam cannot stay anymore after that. Purushaschadi Devatam Adi Yajnyoham Evatra Dehe Deha Bradam Vara. He mentions here that Purushaha Purnam Anena Sarvam Iti Puri Shainad Va Purushaha Aditya Andargado Hiranya Garbaha Sarva Prani Karananam Anugrahagaha Saha Adi Devatam. In other words, when the soul is present inside, he is fully distributed all over the body. His presence is felt, isn't it? If you touch anywhere, you feel the sense of touch. In the form consciousness also. Consciousness is not from the body, consciousness is from the soul. It's from the soul. But the experience of the presence of consciousness in every living entity is experienced all through the body. And this experience of his being spread all over the body is called Purusha. That is how that word Purusha came. Purusha means he is staying inside this Puram. Puram is this body. One who lives in this body, he is called Purusha. Purusha. So, this situation here, Adhibhudam Kshayobhava Purushaschadi Devadam Adhiyajnyoham Evatra Dehe Deha Bradam Vara. Now, let's look at it this way. Adhibhudam Kshayobhava. Because Adhibhudam is that thing which is under the shelter of the body. It is dependent on the body. Just like if you remember, Svabhavam is dependent on the mind. Adhibhudam is Kshayam. That is, this body is Adhibhudam. Body is Adhibhudam. What is the nature of Adhibhudam? Because it is the body that it is dependent on, this shariram will continuously, is charam, is getting destroyed all the time, isn't it? So, Buddha Prani Jadam, that is why that definition. Shariram, for us the meaning is shariram. Buddha Prani Jadam means, prani means the living entities. They are born. What are they born with? The body, isn't it? That body. That's what it is referring to. So, which is the very elementary thing, which is the very elementary thing. In other words, this material body is created by the five material elements. Five material elements. Basic structure, in other words. So, when we sit to analyze about ourselves, which is called Atma Vijayaram or Brahma Vijayaram, what Krishna calls it as, when we sit for that, what is the first stage in that? First stage is, what is this body? That will be the first question, isn't it? What is this body? And that Krishna is saying here, Adhibhudam Kshayo Bhavaha. Its nature is Kshayam, not Aksharam. Not Aksharam. You may wonder why all this is spoken in so much in depth in the Bhagavad Gita. Because you can see Krishna in the last verse talked about Aksharam Brahma Paramam. And in here, in this verse, he is saying Adhibhudam Kshayo Bhava. Because that curtain, in that Maya, what she has put in there is so thick that even after hearing hundreds of times, it's not happening inside. So strong is that Maya's curtain inside. So what is Krishna doing here? He's saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, unless you come to this Aksharam Brahma Paramam and move away from the Adhibhudam Kshayo Bhavaha, your bhavam has to change from Adhibhudam to Brahma Paramam. It is not going to happen. The truth will not be realized. So he says here, what Kshayo Bhavaha, and Kshayo Bhava means what? Earth, water, air, ether, fire, the five material elements, isn't it? So these five material elements has created this body. Five material elements has created this body. When Acharya Swamiji went and met his spiritual master first time, What was the question? Asked him, who are you? What was the answer? He says, the answer was like this. Na bhumi, na toyam, na tejo, na vayu, na khamnendriyam va, na tesham samuham, aneigandigatval, sushuptyaiga siddha, tadego vashishtam, shiva kevaloham. This is how he answered the first question. The spiritual master, Govinda Bhagavalpada, asked him, who are you? Who are you? And his answer is, na bhumi, I am not earth. Na toyam, I am not water. Na tejas, I am not fire. Na vayu, I am not air. Na kham, I am not the sky. Na indriyam va, na tesham, samuha. Neither I am the senses, nor I am the combination of all these things. Then, aneiga andigatval sushupteiga siddham. The only time I come to know about me is in the deep sleep state. Anegandigatval sushuptyega siddham. Only in the sushupti state I come to know what my real nature is. What is that? When you come out of the sushupti state, when you get that experience in the sushupti, that you had experienced that pure consciousness, unaffected by the body, unaffected by the mind, intelligence and ego, when you are situated in your own identity, that is what it is called. That is, tad ego vashishtam shiva kevaloham. That alone is me. He answered like this to him. That alone is me. He says like that to him. So here he mentions there that so normally you can see here in our eyes, ears, nose, touch and smell, all these five material elements, this is made of five material elements, and therefore this material body is a combination of these five material elements. I am not any one of them, nor I am any of the senses there. Na tesham samuha. And the collection of all these things, which is this material body or the senses, I am not. Because reason is shero bhavaha. All of them are charam. All of them are charam. Na bhumir na tejo na vayu. Aneigandigatval. Why I am not any one of them? Because I am not the body, I am not the air, I am not the sky, I am not the fire, aigandigam. And because aigandigatval, uses the word there, isn't it? Aigandigatval. Because aneigandigatval, he says, none of them are constant. None of them are constant, always changing. Anekandigatval sushupti, and then he's talking about sushupti. Sushupti, in the stage of sushupti, I don't see this body, he says. I don't see this body. It's not available in the deep sleep. Therefore, this material body is anityam. Material body is temporary, he says. So, not rejecting all these things, that means the senses, the body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, senses, everything. If you reject everything, what was left behind in the sushupti state? That vastu, and that is my identity. That is how he answered that question. And he answered that question. If I say this one time, you may hear it and you will keep it in your head. If I say twice, you may hear it, you will still keep it in your head. If I tell you hundreds of times the same thing again and again, one day it will start going into the heart and experience will start coming from there. Otherwise it won't happen. That is why in a Vedic text you will see a lot of things are repeated for this. Truth, unless it is repeated, because the Maya's curtain inside, what she has wrapped around us, is so thick that it will not allow the knowledge to penetrate through that inside. And what is happening to us is that we are hearing all these things, but in realization nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. Therefore, that was the first thing. Here Krishna is also saying the same thing. These same words in the Dashashlogi, what is the 10 verses, where he told his spiritual master, na bhumir na toyam na tejo na vayu na khamnendriyam va na tesham samuha aneigandigatval sushupti ega siddham
tad ego vashishtam shiva kevaloham. That is the same message here, adibhudam charo bhava. That is the nature. Adibhudam has this nature. Adibhudam means this body, mind, intelligence, all of them belongs to this adibhudam. So adibhudam's nature is also, is like that, he says, Krishna is saying here, as long as you identify with the body, you are perishable. As long as you are identifying with the body, you are perishable. Or you are what they call destroyable, or you will be destroyed. As long as you identify with the body, you will be destroyed or annihilated. Or you can say that you'll be perished. As long as you are identifying with the body. So long as you are thinking I am this body, one day body will drop away and goes away, isn't it? So, or ultimately it will get burned and it will turn into ashes. Therefore, in Shastram and in Sanskrit particularly, the word used for deham is two words, if normal words in the Bhagavad Gita use. One is deham and the other one is shariram, isn't it? In these two words Krishna is used everywhere for the body. One is shariram and the other one is deham. If you look at the definition of that, dahyade iti dehaha. Dahyade means what is meant to be burned tomorrow. It will burn into ashes, in other words. Therefore it is called deham. Sharire iti shiryaha. The one thing what gets degenerated and destroyed eventually. Therefore it's called shariram. So both the words what Krishna has used in the Bhagavad Gita with reference to the gross body is both refers to the same thing, that one day it will get destroyed. He gives importance to that more than anything else. Either it will get burned and turned into ashes, or it will degenerate itself and die on its own. It cannot stay in this world. That's the point Krishna is making. So here, body is like that. Continuously, shiryade idi shariraha. Continuously, it is getting destroyed. Or dahyade idi dehaha. So, one, it is getting burned into ashes. Dahyade, shiryade. Shiryade means it getting destroyed slowly. Dahyade means it gets destroyed in one lot, in one instance. So, therefore, material body, Krishna is saying here, adibhudam kshero bhavaha. It bhavam is kshero bhavaha. In other words, it gets destroyed. But if you look inside this body, you also notice something. What is that? You are conscious of an existence inside, isn't it? Of an existence inside. Some existence you are conscious of. So, and in that case, nobody is a charvaka in that sense. Charvaka does not believe the presence or the existence inside of anything. They simply believe the body is everything. They say that after death, everything is finished. So, while in the body, enjoy it. This is their principle, charvaka principle, isn't it? So, charvaka says like that. But most of us know that if you have a little awareness inside, that I cannot be this body. If this has come to you in some form and that awareness has developed inside, then you know that the body is going to go one day, but inside the awareness is still there, isn't it? And so it is due to that, when body is what we have given the name, isn't it? Peter, Paul, or Rama, Krishna, or names we give it to the body. Body is coming, body is going. Body is coming, body is going. And that name only lasts till that body gets burned or body gets destroyed. After that, what name has it got? You don't say anymore. Last time probably you'll mention that is in your will or in your obituary. It may be mentioned. After that, you're gone. That name has no meaning anymore after that, isn't it? So, at the same time, that while within this body also, you have a very vague understanding that separate from the body I have an existence. Some very, very light realization inside, in a very, very strange way. We all believe that death is not truth.
isn't it? Everything is not finished with the death. We know that. It is there in all of us. That's why I mentioned before in the beginning of the class itself that in our inside, we are not fully come to terms with the thing called death yet. Although people will tell me we go for funeral and after the funeral we leave the place, still thinking that, well, he died, but is that the end? We ask the question. We are still not able to accept it, that that's finished there. No, it's not over yet. Our existence inside is telling us that when that Chit Shakti is operating, it is making us aware, no, it's not over. It is still there, existence is going to continue further. So that realization inside, that vague understanding, and that we are aware also inside, that we, when you analyze it through the Shastram, eyes of the Shastram, we see there that in the vacant state, in the dream state, I have been identifying with the body. But even when I went to the deep sleep state, I have left the body, left the mind, intelligence, everything. But still, when I wake up after that, I still felt that I was enjoying something in the deep sleep state, which is a proof to tell us that existence was not lost in the deep sleep state also. Shastram is giving that understanding. So, but today, I know that after waking up, I have come to understand me, you, he or she or they, all these different personalities have come into my awareness. They have come into my awareness after I woke up from the deep sleep. In the deep sleep, for me, he didn't exist, she didn't exist, they didn't exist, nothing existed, only awareness existed. When I came out of that deep sleep state, and came out with my, when this mind woke up, false ego came out, for me, he exists, she exists, they exist, the world exists. So all the birth of all these things happened when? In the vacant state. In the vacant state this has happened. So therefore, it is mentioned in the Upanishads also. So all these images, what we are creating when we come into the vacant state, with various images we know that I am this, I am existing like this, and that is what is mentioned here is that Chaitanya or living force, Manomayam Prana Sharira Neta Pratishtado Anyam Hridayam Sanidhaya. That living force, what does it do? It goes inside and first it puts the vest, called the what we call this, it puts its vest as a top cover on it first, which is called the mind. That, and then it puts a shirt on top of it, which is the pranan. Isn't it? The vest is called the mind. And then on top of it, it puts the shirt on, which is called the pranan. And on top of that, it puts the jacket or the coat, which is the body. That is how that thing happens. That's how it happens. Manomayam prana sharira neda pratishtado anyam hridayam sanidhaya. The soul who is present inside, when this mind has come out, that is a vest. And on top of that, the pranan has come and started functioning. And that is the energy source or the power to function, which is the pranan. That is its shirt. And then the jacket for all of that is this gross body. Gross body. So therefore, Upanishad says, he is being imprisoned in the matter. The soul, he is imprisoned in the matter. And this prison or jail is jadam, isn't it? This jail is a jadam. Because, and how is it done? The mind puts a cover first. And pranan puts the next covering on top of that. And the gross body puts the cover on top of everything. So, we have identification with each one of them. If you subtly analyze, you will see this. We have identification with the body. We have identification with the pranam. You know how it is? Because it is identification with the pranam we tend to say that through identification with the pranam, we tend to say that I am doing different kinds of work. I can do several work. Where is that strength coming from? It's coming from the pranam. Pranam is giving you that force to function, to do different things. Similarly, you have also got the identification with the gross body. So we have got identification with the gross body, identification with the mind, and identification with the prana inside. And this is called anatma pratyayam. In the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, in the commentary, you will see this. Shankaracharya's commentary on Brihadaranyaka is famous. And that Brihadaranyaka Upanishad commentary is so famous that it is a very detailed explanation of this avidya, how it functions in a person. And they call it there as anatma pratyayam. Anatma pratyayam means, if the body is moving, to give you an example, if the body is moving, I say to others, I am walking. Yeah. If the body is moving, I tell others, I am walking. If the eyes are seeing, I'll say, I am seeing. If the ears are hearing, I say, I am hearing. If I am tasting some food, I say, I am tasting. So this is called anatma pratyayam. Anatma pratyayam in the Brihadaranyaka is important matter, topic of discussion there. He says here, so suppose suppose the mosquito has bitten me. What will I say to him? The mosquito has bitten me, I say. Or if I got dirty in my body, the mud or something like that, thrown on my body, and I'll say that, oh, I've become dirty. If I feel hungry, I say, I'm feeling hungry. And we know very well, soul doesn't feel hungry. Isn't it? Soul doesn't feel hungry. But I say, I am feeling hungry. So, similarly, if I get angry inside, I say, I am getting angry. All this is anatma pratyayam. All this is anatma pratyayam. That means, identification with the body, identification with the mind, identification with the prana. All these things together. So, similarly, all other emotions also, which one? Anger, lust, envy, greed, everything. Or anything related to the body, all that affects me. All that happening in the mind, it affects me. And hunger, thirst, all these are related to pranan, isn't it? Pranan is the one behind that. The force behind the hunger and thirst is pranan, you know. So, Krishna mentions that. So, the forces of pranan, the forces of mind, the forces of the body, all of them is affecting me. and all of them together inside me, and that power which is inside me, which makes me to identify with all that different things, to identify with them, that me is called Purusha. You see that word Krishna uses there? Adibhudam. You have to understand this as it is. Otherwise it will, you have to know this. Why it is spoken like that? Then it is interesting. Adibhudam kshero bhavaha purushaschadi devatam. Krishna is saying. So that Purusha is this person. Who is that? Who is present in and the body, the mind and pranam. Three things. The vigaram of the body is when body gets dirty or body is moving, I identify with the body straight away. When I get angry, lusty, greedy and so many emotions comes inside, I identify with the mind straight away. When the hunger, thirst and things like that happens in me, I identify with the prana straight away. Have you observed yourself? You can see this. How your identification is shifting from one to another. Sometimes you are identifying with the body, sometimes you are identifying with the mind, sometimes you are identifying with the prana, is it not? So that force inside us, which is making us to identify with each one of them separately, is called Purusha. So that is called Purushasya Adidevatam. See the word Krishna is used, Purushaschadi Devatam. Because Devata or any Devata is always a personality. It's always a person. In fact, we are all Devatas in that sense. As soon as you identify as a person, in a very subtle level, when your meditation, everything is subtle in the Bhagavad Gita particularly. When Krishna is talking about these things, that Krishna is mentioned here, that in extreme meditation, in a very, very subtle level, when you are meditating, we give a form to a force, to a power. We give a form to a power. And we start thinking, just like we have got a body, we give a form to that force also, which is operating in this world. And that is how all the Devata Upasanas come. For example, we have got, like the Shastram says, 330 million gods, they say, isn't it? What does this 330 million gods mean? We are thinking that 330 million people are sitting somewhere controlling everything, isn't it? That is not what it means. Because it's always a problem, you know. They keep saying that, you people have got so many gods, 330 million gods you have got. What does it mean? This is what it means. That means, Krishna is saying here, you see, that word Daivadam is so potent. Purushasch Adidaivadam. Daivadam means that any of these living force, for example, prana and mind and the body, through which forces are operating in different ways, isn't it? Sometimes good ones, sometimes bad ones, isn't it? All of those forces, when it goes into a meditational state, when you are in a meditation state, they all get a personal form. They are given a particular personal form. And that is how these 330 million forms have come from that. Because Shastram says it is 330 million, we have to accept it like that. There is no other thing you can do about it. You can't make a list of all the 330 million, what they are. Shastram is telling us there is 330 million forms of Devadas inside. All the, for example, demigods, we say all the demigods are present within our body, is it not? Just like, how are they present? They are present like this. When you are seeing through the eye, that power of that original power which has come from the Chit Shakti, when it comes through the power and seeing something, then it has been given a special position, a particular form for that. That power for that force that's coming. Similarly, when it comes through the ear, in the Bhagavad Gita you will see that the sun god is the Drig Devada, the predominating deity of the eye, sun god. Similarly for the ear and all others, there are also other demigods. We call them as demigods or whichever way we want to address them. But this is what it means, that due to they have been given a form and told that this is who is the predominating deity of that particular sense. Similarly, all the five senses of knowledge have got its own predominating deities. Five senses of action also has its own predominating deities. So that is why, if you remember, in the last chapter, Krishna says, Devan Devayajo Yadi Madhbhakta Yanti Mapimam. You can look at that verse, what Krishna mentions there. That Devan Devayajo Yandi Madhbhakta, that is that seventh chapter, Krishna mentions there that yeah, 23. Antavantu Bhalam Tesham Tadbhavat Alpamedasam Devan Devayajo Yandi Madhbhakta Yanti Mam Api. There you see that verse. It's an important verse. To understand that verse is very important, because when people starts asking this question, 330 million gods and all that, Krishna is explaining in that verse, he's saying here, Devan Devayajo Yandi Madhbhakta Yanti Mam Api. What does it mean? What it means is that all these Devadas what we have created by giving a form to it, a personality to it, those who are worshipping that form, they won't go further immediately because they have not understood the soul yet. What's happening is, the powers that's coming from the soul, different potencies, isn't it? From the soul only, it has come from the soul only. Nobody is denying that. It's all come from the soul. But when it starts manifesting in the body, through different senses, in different ways it manifests. And when it comes out, people start thinking that I am seeing, and that seeing power, they give a personal form to that.
the power, and they say there is a deity present there who is controlling that. In reality, all these deities and forms we have given to that and worship them in that form. If you get caught up in the worship of that form, which is controlling these different powers that flows through the body, mind, and the prana and life air, everything, then that is what Krishna says here, that devan devayajo yandi, those who are running after those forms, they will not get to know mad bhakta yandi maam api. If you have come to the realization of the soul, and if you are after self-realization, then all these things goes away. These 330 million demigods are thrown out at that point. They have no value anymore. You see traditional Hindu religion, you know that there is worship of so many gods, is it not? Now, if you go, depending on the society you have gone and grown up, in different parts of the country, as known today as Hinduism, there is worship of all sorts of gods going on. Now, if you ask them why you worship this, they may not know why they are worshipping. It may be happening through traditions. Through traditions it's happening. But the science behind it is this. That's what Krishna is explaining here. The science behind it. How so many different forms have come into existence. So many different forms have come into existence. Because based on the mind, based on the prana, and based on the body, we have this tendency to identify with them and accept them as a reality. And at least at that point, you give a form to it and start worshipping them. So obviously, from time immemorial, these different forms have come into existence and worship has started in that way. So, in Krishna's point is, you yourself has no personality and or individuality. And you, by very birth, you are eternal and you are always in pure consciousness. Always, isn't it? That is the message of the Upanishads. Message of the Upanishads to us is, by our very nature, we don't have a body, not only that, no individuality or personality. Personality and individuality is all coming from the false ego, is it not? When you have the false ego comes out, then you feel that is what is called the individuality or personality, what we refer to as. So, here, instead of knowing that I am not an individuality or personality for me, I am not a jiva in that sense, because jivatvam means what? Jivatvam means identification with the false ego. Is it not? That is where jiva bhavam. That is what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita many times, that understand this difference between the jiva and the atma state. So there you can see that instead of knowing that pure awareness or pure consciousness, and I am not this jiva, instead what I have done, I have given this one of these devatas identification. That means one of these emotions or one of these thoughts that has occurred in me, and I gave a personality to them and a form to it and a swabhavam also to it. I give that form a particular swabhavam. Swabhavam means a nature to that. And I keep on worshipping that form in my life throughout. And then one day what will happen is that powerful form of that worship of that form, anyonyam anyonyaha, it says here, that I am separate from that form I am worshipping. In this way, I continue my worship through the rest of the life. In this way, you become a slave of that. You become a slave of that. Actually, that seventh chapter we have gone through in detail. If you want to understand this eighth chapter, it may be worthwhile going through that seventh chapter again. To understand so many things in the Bhagavad Gita, seventh chapter is a very important chapter, because it is from the seventh chapter, this bhakti process, Krishna is talking about that in the six chapters, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, is it not? And when you study these six chapters, you will realize bhakti is not that simple thing what we thought bhakti is.
Misunderstanding will go from inside. A proper understanding of bhakti will come from that six chapters. And the beginning of that bhakti chapters, or the bhakti shalkam they call it, or the bhakti discussed in the six chapters, the beginning itself is called jnana vijnana yogam. Because with this, without this jnanam, without this vijnanam, our studying bhakti has no meaning. Has no meaning. Because this seventh chapter, which is the very existence of the very important part of the Bhagavad Gita science of Bhakti Yogam, begins with that seventh chapter. That's why seventh chapter is a deeper understanding necessary for the eighth chapter also. So in that seventh chapter we have discussed this. What is this demigods, 330 million we are talking about? How were they created? Well, sometimes generally we will say like this. Generally, we will, in order to make it simple for people, what do we say? We say to them, look, Krishna is the head of the department, top man, top boss. Then he has got assistants. They are these demigods. We put it like that to them. So we start thinking, oh, why these 330 million assistants for Krishna? And all kinds of things come. And then we, because when you start going in that route, it sometimes is a bit difficult. It is for easy acceptance. It is spoken like that, that Krishna has got 330 million assistants for him. So if you put it like that, oh, we'll be satisfied. 330 million bosses. I got 330 million office box everywhere, somewhere. He's sitting there and controlling different decisions making. And we don't even seem to know who all these 330 million are and what they are doing. And every time you read Puranam and all the Upanishads, everything, you're coming across new personalities everywhere. So it confuses everybody. And people start thinking, oh, this is a complicated religion. Rather, I will have one God and me here, God somewhere else. And it makes a life a lot easier for me. People take it that way. So that's how in the modern religious process it's like that. But Krishna is going to explain something which is quite complex. At the same time, you will see there is only one truth. There is no two. There's only one truth. And the truth, how it manifests in all the bodies, living entities, in the world, in the creation, everything, that is the whole explanation what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. So, you can see there, that therefore he says here, what we do, we catch hold of one of these forms, what has come from that source, what it has come, to which we got attracted, and we take a pleasure giving a form to that and worshipping that whole rest of the life. And in that process, we become the slaves of that. And Upanishads are saying, Pashuhu Devanam Pashuhaha. They are Pashus, we are also Pashus, animals. So what does that do? What did that Devata do at that time? If you keep on worshipping in that way, and with the Andaryami, who does all this meditation inside, all this particular form? Because you can see this also. After taking birth in this life, even after coming to hearing about Krishna consciousness, sometimes still your attraction going to some other form. Is it not? Some other form. Where is that coming from? Because in previous lifetimes, with that particular form, you had a connection inside. And that vasana has not left you. So even in this life, Andaryami is still again driving that force towards that. And to that form. And if you worship that form, nothing is going to go wrong. But provided you know the tattvam behind it, and nothing will happen inside. So, knowing very well, the tattvam I am performing this upasana is that original tattvam from where everything, Brahman, from where everything has come. And my particular upasana or service is for that, getting that seriousness in the spiritual life. Seriousness in the spiritual life. It is another topic, because the mistake is not in the upasana. Mistake is in the ajnanam, ignorance. Not knowing things and engaging in upasana. People get confused about that. People get confused about that. Sometimes people have a great difficulty in realizing this factor, which we will discuss it on next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.